It occurs to me I need to
update
the superhero time picture and add Ken in it.
What superhero?
And he's gonna have a cloth Green Ranger shield.
Oh, that drawing you did before.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Cloth Green Ranger shield. Gee.
Yeah.
Yeah, except he's not really our number six. He's five.
Well, neither was Abra Killer.
Yeah, but
no, remember, Ben is our fifth ranger.
What?
Ben is our fifth ranger.
Either that or Ben is the mentor voice off on the communicator.
He's the foul-mouthed Zordon.
You know, I totally now can see Zordon playing on Xbox Live.
Zordon's not 12 years old.
It's not killing me.
Zordon's 12. How can he be on Xbox Live?
Say what?
Have you been to Xbox Live?
Yeah, it's full of 12-year-olds.
And Ben.
I'm sorry. There is that too. I only find the 12-year-olds for some reason.
Well, really? There's an intro quote.
3, 2, 1. And now it's time for another superhero time with your hosts. XV.
Climax sold separately.
Hey, Mickey.
From start to finish, you'll love every drop.
Paladin.
Oh, yay.
Ken.
Blah, blah, Digimon, blah, blah, pretty gear.
And Fort Max.
It's about 19 inches.
Tis the Doomed Podcast superhero time. And I think I'll actually kick off the episode like that, so I'm XV. With us, by some miracle, we have Ken.
Yay.
And Mickey.
Boom, boom, bong, bong.
And Paladin.
Boo.
And Fort Max also ran.
Let's go on.
News. What we got?
Gokhydra versus Space Sheriff Gavin is.
No, I said news, not
real.
Crap.
At first, I was almost a little put off by it, but the more I think about it, I'm kind of interested to see what the hell they're going to do with that now.
I'd have to agree with that.
Well, it is the only thing that hasn't been done before. You know, Decade took care of the Rider Sentai crossover. So.
And then, let's go, Kamen Rider had the cameos from the other Ishinomori Toku heroes.
Uh-huh.
Well, the ones who don't have a series anymore, at least.
Yes.
And then Gokhydra's taking care of all the other possible team-ups, sort of.
Why Gavin?
It was the first, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Metal Hero yet.
Okay.
And if the other rumors are true about GoBuster, then it would make sense.
What are the rumors?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
At the moment, they're saying that GoBuster may be a tribute of sorts to the Metal Hero series.
Who is they?
Whoever does all the rumors at this point.
You know, them.
Because with this, we actually have website registrations.
Yeah.
Well, that's something, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, at least it's not another versus Ghost Hatcher.
Oh, no.
We should all be thankful for that, at least.
This dude versus Samurai.
Too bad it's not Gokhydra versus Kabutech at
no.
Christmas.
Yeah, quite all right.
No.
That's quite all right.
Oh, come on.
Nobody needs that.
Kabutech was great.
Or B-Fighter with that f***ed up troll thing in the tree.
The beetle troll.
Big bad beetle troll just doesn't have the right ring to it.
Actually, kind of does.
Gokhydra versus Jay Leno's ghost.
Big bad beetle troll. It works.
Oh, God. It's going to be stuck in my head now, thanks.
The theme song?
The variation of it now.
All of the above.
I'm excellent. Stuck in your mom's head.
None are good options.
So there must be more than just that.
I think Figure Arts Night got pushed back to November, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's not the first Figure Art to get pushed back lately, is it?
Is Gokai Blue still supposed to come out this month?
I thought so.
There's only one more weekend left in the month, though, so.
So he's still got a chance.
Maybe.
As long as he's out by Christmas.
Why, is that what you were getting?
Well, no, because that's if you want him to sell,
you
sell them by Christmas.
Oh, that's right. You don't want to buy any Gokaiger figure arts.
No.
Even though you should, because they're great figures.
Well, maybe if I wait long enough, they'll show up at Toys R Us.
Give it another couple of years, you mean?
Yeah.
What if the world ends next year?
Or next week?
Well, knowing how stupid Toys R Us orders things, they could go ahead and order them now. And then have them not sell because no one knows what they are.
That actually sounds entirely plausible.
Although, apparently, the Shinkanger figure arts are only there because Bandai of America knew that there was domestic access to figure arts now and wanted to tie them in.
With Bluefin.
Yeah. It's slightly convoluted, but it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I still haven't seen any of the figure arts there, though I did find Undertow and Skyhammer for...
We're on podcast for it, Max.
Has that stopped us before?
Welcome to 4 months ago.
4 months ago? Hell, I got Skyhammer like what was it? Da-da-da-da-da.
I got Undertow in like March.
I'm
I got Undertow
January,
from your
February.
Mother.
I got Skyhammer at BotCon, so
you're
been a bitch.
Your mother generates Undertow.
And other types of toe.
Underblow.
Mind you, I can see that being somewhat significant because I've only just now seen Skyhammer and Shockwave at some of my stores here.
The movie ones, you mean?
Yeah.
See, it's a good thing that Skyhammer never actually came out at regular retail otherwise, because that'd be confusing having the one and the other like that.
Yeah.
But sure. It didn't, so let's move on.
So, the figure arts of Toys R Us, I'm greatly amused that it's just the Japanese boxes with stickers thrown over the UPC codes and with the American warning labels on them.
Yes. I think it's like 15 and up now for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not in the back, it's just all hiragana and kanji and all that nonsense.
At least with the Mega Man X ones, they actually made U.S. packaging for them.
I can just imagine some mom picking this up tonight. Oh, maybe the kids would like this. Look in the back like, what the hell is this? $35! No, you're not getting that.
See, that's what I figure is going to be the safety net to keep kids from accidentally ending up with these. It costs more than a Megazord does, and they're like a quarter of the size, so...
Parents can't read shit on it.
Speaking of the Megazords, Toys R Us has got the 2-pack out.
Actually, yeah. there's one thing I do...
$4.99.
That's about $70 too much for Samurai Zords.
It's actually $2 more expensive than buying the Zords separately at Toys R Us.
That's kind of the same thing with the Mega Rangers 6-pack.
I think some of the Jungle Fury multi-pack stuff that Toys R Us got also tended that way.
Of course, this is still better than the Mighty Morphin 2-inch or stylized figures that had stuff that never came out separately.
The super deformed robot heroes? Yeah.
Ranger heroes.
Yeah.
I checked Toys R Us when I found that 2-pack. They still have the damn Jungle Fury cannon there. The flying helicopter Megazord.
Well, and you can get that at, like, Ross now for, like, $10.
What the hell's Ross?
You don't have a Ross? What about,
it's like TJ Maxx.
Or Marshalls. It's more like Marshalls than a TJ Maxx.
They're all about the same.
Yeah, they are. They're pretty interchangeable.
Marshalls and TJ Maxx are owned by the same company.
Exactly.
You know, now that I'm watching Geki Ranger, I'm really kind of kicking myself for not buying the Geki Ranger figures when they sat around forever on clearance.
Nice.
At least I had the foresight to buy the Megazord multi-pack.
Yeah,
that pack
was
awesome.
That pack was actually a really good deal.
I probably should have bought one of those, but, you know.
Like 3 Megazords for $40.
Yeah.
I think the thing that put me off getting the Jungle Fury Zords like that was that no matter which type you bought, you could not get a complete set of Zords.
Yeah.
So that was off-putting a little bit, I think.
Just a little.
The only one really missing was the Rhino and the Master Beasts.
The Master Beasters?
Yes.
That doesn't really work so well when you say it. Does it? Well, no, if you get the imported Japanese, like the ported over Japanese deluxe kind, you know, you can get Jungle Pride and Jungle Master, but you can't get any of the add-ons for them.
They were like Disney Store exclusives or something from the website.
All of them?
No, not many of them. Not all of them, though.
And then, you know, if you get the Microzords, what was missing on the Microzords?
Side-IO, I believe.
No, there was a Microzord Rhino.
Was there?
Yeah. I think out of the Minizords, you couldn't get, like, the Lion and...
The Chameleon?
No, the Chameleon came with the Rhino for some reason.
Huh.
Because, you know, the Chameleon's... Well, the Chameleon's a glorified accessory anyway. But no, and then if you get the what they called the Transforming Megazords at that time, there was no Jungle Master Megazord.
Right.
So
right.
No matter what you do, you're still screwed over.
That's Bandai.
Of America.
In America.
Yeah.
So anyway, speaking of releases that don't suck.
Wait, when were we talking about that?
I don't care. I'm just trying to get an
segue further.
Segue harder.
Segue off a cliff.
It's funny because it's true.
It's funny because it happened to somebody else.
It's funny because it happened to the guy who invented the Segway.
See, karma does exist.
I've always wanted to ride a Segway, though. It looks interesting.
They have Segway rentals here for tours of the town.
Oh, God.
You know, yes. About where do you...
Scenic tours of Flint, Michigan.
Oh, God.
10 or 15 years ago, Nashville started up a program where the city would buy a bunch of bicycles and paint them yellow and leave them sitting around downtown Nashville for people to ride and leave at, like, the next stop.
I wonder how that worked out for them.
Well, do you see any yellow bicycles around downtown Nashville when you visit?
You know, I didn't, now that you mention it.
I wonder if there might be some correlation. Of course, you know, even back then I was like, yeah, this is going to end really well. But I bet a lot of people that week they introduced them got a lot of nice new bicycles.
Yeah, I'll bet you money the whole reason that thing happened is because the politician who implemented it had a friend who owned the place that made the bicycles. Whenever something retarded happens in Tennessee, it's all because of backdoor politics.
So you mean when anything happens in Tennessee? Because yes, nothing not retarded happens in Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's not enough about your mother.
Yeah. All right.
Your mother is the tri-state area.
Your mother is Lookout Mountain?
Well, we definitely look out for her.
You can see everything from your mother.
You can see 5 states from Lookout Mountain. Or at least that's what those red barns that used to be all over the place out here.
7 states. See, 7 states. What from Rock City.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't see those buildings around anymore. I think somebody stole them, too. So anyway, back to toy stuff that doesn't suck.
Super Robot Chogokin Gokaio was released this week.
Oh.
Yeah, and it looks pretty nice.
It looks very nice, and I have not the money to get it.
Nice!
Yeah, and it combines just as much as it does in the show.
I know, it really seems like Gokaio might have been better served as being, you know, like an Astro Megazord sort of Megazord.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't be big enough to justify the price.
No, they would just make it huge.
When have they ever cared about justifying the price?
Besides, isn't Daibouken smaller than the Astro Megazord?
I don't have them nearby to compare, but yes,
yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, but look how much other crap got stacked onto Daibouken.
I'm just saying, though, Daibouken, you know, that was sold by itself as a standalone set, and it was still smaller than a, you know, one-piece transforming toy.
That's true.
Just to refute, you know, whoever made that point.
Well, mind you, it was about 10 years difference, too, so.
Shut up. But yeah, Ken, you had to cancel some of your Monster Arts pre-orders too, didn't you?
Just for the fact that I don't want to have it bearing down upon me with AMS shipping and the shitty exchange rate right now. I can pretty much get the exact same things right now through Amazon or BBTS, thanks to Bluefin, without having to pay that much more at the moment.
While we're on that subject, we all know who Vangelis is. So
yes,
you know, he went to New York Comic Con and actually had a pretty lengthy interview with the representative from Tamashii Nations that was there. And he put that up on his YouTube channel, and it was actually really, really informative to how this whole Bluefin Tamashii thing is working out. And it was extremely upfront in what kind of things we can expect to get out of it. Did any of you watch that? Or
I didn't even know it existed until just now.
Neither did I.
I glanced through it.
I've skimmed over it a little bit. I just haven't had much time this weekend.
One of the interesting things that I got out of it was that, like, the newer Dragon Ball Z stuff they're doing is specifically for the U.S. marketplace.
Yeah, I got that impression just because of Vegeta alone and the exclusive
on Amazon. And it makes sense when you look at it from that perspective, too, that we are getting Vegeta here through normal retail channels while Japan is only getting it as an exclusive.
I don't think the Dragon Ball Kai figure arts, I don't think they did not sell that well over there.
Well, they only made three different figures, right?
Yeah, but even if the first few figures don't move, they don't continue it.
Right.
See Digimon D Arts.
That was going to be my next point.
They made three figures, four if you count Black War Greymon, and we have not seen anything else since.
Another thing that was brought up in the interview was that right now, they don't have access to bring over, you know, Tamashii exclusives that are produced for the Japanese market originally. But then when they explain the Dragon Ball thing, that's why they can do that one, because that was made for us.
So we won't see Gokai Pink or Yellow, but...
Or the other Shinkangers.
Yeah, Shinkangers.
Anyway, I'll link to that video in the show notes when I post the show. And, meanwhile, while the next person's talking about the next news item, I'll paste the link into the chat for us right now. So somebody else talk.
Well, today we got new images of two new Figuarts that should be scheduled for release soon, or at least hopefully. First is Juzo from Shinkenger.
He's pretty.
Yeah, these were pictures posted from a Figuarts book that got released, right?
Not seen that yet, actually.
I'm pretty sure that's the source.
Yeah, so there was Juzo and Gosei Knight.
Yeah, of course.
Which, from what I've seen, people seem to be more falling over themselves for Gosei Knight than Juzo, which is just sad.
It's kind of wrong, but at the same time, Gosei Knight is one of the few redeeming factors of Gosager.
Except,
but the figure looks weird.
Does it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah. It's too slim.
Yeah, it's really slim compared to what Gosei Knight looks like. I mean...
Yeah.
So it's the standard figure arts, amplified.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's also not just the problem, but some of the proportions are wrong. Like, his chest armor should be a lot lower on his chest, I think.
Yeah. Well, it comes from having to work it around a figure arts body type.
Yeah. So. It's like, it's almost as much reimagined as SIC is sometimes.
It would be like if they tried to adapt your mom to figure arts and they'd have to put her chest a lot higher, too.
You also need a box the size of Deluxe Bill Kyle.
Well, on the bright side, I'm not going to be bothering with Ghost Knight anyway, so...
Imagine the EMS shipping on your mom.
I suppose figure arts to your mom would be kind of like the robot Tamashii Sutherland Sieg, where it's like the size of a football.
It'd be a figure out zero, because, you know, there's no way you could put articulation in your mom's fat ass.
Right.
Or the monster from Macross.
Ah, yeah, the Koenig monster. You know, you can turn Lugnut into that, too.
Which one? Either?
The Generations one. I got a picture of that.
Reveal the shield, you mean?
It's all classic.
Same difference. United.
Whatever. I don't really think that matters that much, does it? That
Not
distinction.
Really.
Fort Max is just being an asshole. But that's our Fort Max.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Here's the Koenig monster mode.
So it's Jurwok mode.
Well, yeah, but it looks like a specific thing out of Macross instead of just, you know, a plane with legs.
I guess you're right. It does.
I think it helps that there's the teeth painted on there.
Yeah, that works better with the Reveal the Shield one better than the I think it would with the United one though.
Because of
the colors. Yeah.
But yeah, I would probably, well, I would say conditionally I would get that Juzo figure arts if it came out, except that I wouldn't because it would end up being an exclusive and I don't want to pay that much.
Oh, it'll definitely be an exclusive.
Yeah.
So there's not a doubt in my mind.
That would be kind of a barrier.
Now, just to think crazy for a second, if it's not, would they bring it over here for Toys R Us too?
Probably. Nah. Maybe. It's possible.
No, they wouldn't because we would want that.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. Because, you know, if that wasn't a barrier, we would be getting, like, all kinds of cool exclusive stuff through Bluefin and not have to pay an arm and a leg for it. And that's not happening.
Of course not.
So, anything else going on?
We might have a hint at the next entry in Super Robot Shogokin.
Daiboken.
Which is weird, but I guess it works.
Well, it follows with the ultimate power thing, I guess, vaguely.
Well, except this won't have any add-ons. Well, I guess he could always, you know, steal the
carry
sword.
Carry the sword, yeah.
Yeah, but that's exactly. You could do that with any of them. I could have him steal Shinkano's sword too. But
it would look cooler if he stole. It would look cooler if he stole Magi King's sword
instead of the dragon.
Yeah.
poor Magi Dragon. I haven't seen Magi Dragon in a while, actually.
Didn't we just get that like an episode or two ago?
It might have been just briefly.
It's so easy to tune out Magi Dragon.
Yeah, I know.
It is.
No, we did just get it recently because I was like, oh, hey, they remembered that toy exists.
Yeah, that's right. I think it was.
You bet nobody else does!
I think it's just kind of like in one of those filler mecha battles.
Yeah, it was against some Sigorman at the start of an episode.
Yeah.
And I'm still expecting to see Super Robot Shogokin Senpujin so they can include the Furemaru for Super Robot Gokaio.
That's possible.
Maybe.
Well, they've got the Pat Striker and the Dragon already, so why not the little ninja guy?
Except what they would have to do. What they would have to do
that didn't
is
stop them with the dragon.
Well, they'd have to have another head for him too to swap out.
What they would have to do is release Senpujin and what's the name of the Thunder Megazord and Hurricane?
Go Raijin.
They'd have to release the two of them and include half of Furemaru with each one. Since
that Furemaru, sounds about right, actually.
Well, Furemaru is the combination parts to make the Thunderstorm Megazord, right? So
yeah, but he looks a bit different. And
it doesn't matter, though. It has to do that to be thematically consistent.
He also wasn't great.
Evil enough to do that.
No, hopefully if this is tracking along with Ultimate Powers using Gokaiger, they'll do a super live robo from this too.
That'd be nice. That is the nice thing about these anniversary shows is that they can actually have an excuse to do these older incarnations and newer toys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Figure Arts Kamen Rider one.
Although I imagine even if it wasn't an anniversary year, they would do it with Super Robot Shogokin anyway.
True.
Maybe at a slower pace, but they would still be doing it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not like there's that many months of Gokaiger left to really ride on, you know?
There's only about 3 more months, or think of.
It's depressing.
A little bit.
Maybe Gokaiger will be Dino.
Oh, if only.
It could work that way. I mean,
the only problem with that is that Sentai casts especially seem like they would have a lot more trouble keeping the entire cast. Because with Kamen Rider, so long as you can just keep that one guy.
In Deno's case, it's easy too because voice actors are always available.
Yeah, the only person they have to keep is Owner.
As Let's Go Kamen Rider proved.
Yes.
Did they change out Coffee Girl?
No, she's still the same, but I don't think she's quite as integral.
Probably not.
I still haven't decided if she's real or not.
You know, they could just sit in a different car in the den liner and you'd never know she wasn't there.
Move to the sleeping car.
Or the bathhouse car. you know, just somewhere else on the train.
You gotta get your nickel somehow.
I think your mom needs more than a car.
Your mom needs more than a train, too.
Okay, so any more news or...
Well, there's confirmation on what the next two Ultimate Power tributes will be in Gokaiger.
You mean besides the Go-Launchers?
Yes. Episode 39 will feature Mega Ranger.
Yes!
Which will be the Ultimate Power to play video games.
And episode 40 is Time Ranger.
Which I didn't think we were actually going to get.
Why not? We got Abba Ranger.
Yeah, well, I guess I should say, I didn't think we were actually going to get it before we got Abba Ranger. So maybe there is...
Why wouldn't we?
What?
Because technically Time Ranger is one of Guy's ultimate powers, and they have that already.
Yeah, I'm saying before the Abba Ranger episode, I wasn't thinking we would end
Okay.
those three. So maybe there's still a slight chance for Z-Ranger? Maybe?
When you say it all in a straight line like that, it makes a lot more sense.
Sorry. Had a long day.
Yeah, for G-Ranger, they need to get the actor who played Geki back so that it can be both a G-Ranger and a Kamen Rider J Ultimate Power at the same time.
So Marvelous grows to robot-sized?
Yes. Yes, he does.
I can deal with that.
Well, considering... Well, Bri did that, so... Why
he
not?
Did, actually.
Yeah, but I mean, that wasn't on his own, so... And besides, in that case, it would be Guy who grows to the size of a Megazord.
I could see him doing that.
Yeah. With imagination.
Or Guy from can... or from Commander Nepotism not getting the aim on the satellites right.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I would pay to see that. Not a lot, mind you, but I would pay to see that. That'd
like
be worth
$5. He knocks Isarn out of the way to do it himself, and then he accidentally...
Yes. Yeah, see,
that would be
great. What they would need to do is somehow involve a Zangak Megazord with like a monster for support. But hey, instead of growing the monster, he grows Guy, and Guy beats the Megazord.
So it's
giant
like just the situation flip flopped.
Yeah.
Or the monster hops in their Megazord.
We almost had that, but they kind of subverted it.
Now, see, if they hadn't already done the O-Ranger power, that would have been perfect for that, because that happened to them.
The versus Kaka Ranger, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, in G-Ranger, Dragon Ranger got into the Megazord cockpit, too. He just didn't do anything with it except, you know, beat everybody's ass.
That was great.
See, now, of course, if he had tried that with Gokaio, he would have just gotten shot in the face.
Which also would have been great. I love Gokaiger, I really do.
We're going to miss this series.
Yeah, it's like the double of Sentai.
So it'll keep coming back over and over again?
No, I said double, not Deno.
Well, same difference at this point.
Well, double hasn't come back quite to the same degree.
Yet.
Although I do like that they are still getting the actors to come back and be Philip and Shotaro, even for just, like, cameo appearances in the movies.
Well, this was being filmed at this... Well, Let's Go Kamen Riders was being done at the same time as the Doubles Returns.
Yeah, but...
So they brought them over for that short scene.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're specifically bringing them back for Movie Wars Megamax, too.
Them and Foundation X.
I'm just saying, though, I like that they are still bringing the actors in to reprise those roles as much as possible.
Well, they usually try.
Yeah.
I prefer to think that they actually are Philip and Shotaro, and they're just acting as regular people.
Well, like I said before, I think Ren Kiriyama is just Shotaro, or once he actually started playing the part, he became Shotaro.
Yeah, I think my favorite example of that is in the Net Movies for A to Z. Where when they're doing the drawings, everybody else is, you know, kind of just normal, but he is completely in character the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's a little frightening, to be honest.
And then you have him in character impersonating Terror, which is even more frightening.
I like those guys. Okay, so is that it for the news, finally?
Yeah, I think that's it now.
That's all that matters, right?
For now,
nothing really matters.
Well, it's all relative values of matters. We'll go with family matters as it pertains to this show, which itself doesn't really matter. Okay, so let's jump to something completely uninteresting and talk about Bulk.
And now for something completely uninteresting.
Bulk. Oh, yes. Okay.
Because that's the only thing worth talking about in this episode of Samurai, right?
Oh, I thought you mentioned Mother.
Haha, no.
Yeah, with my weekend, I have not actually had the chance to watch this episode. I don't think I missed much.
Well, you know, it was part two of the Secret Origins of Power Rangers Samurai.
So should I just load up the second episode of Shinkenger?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Well, and probably watch some random clips of Bulk and Skull.
I was going to say that doesn't have Bulk and Spike in it.
Eh. Not too big of a loss.
All we really got in this episode was, you know, remember the promo videos they ran when they announced they were bringing Bulk back for Samurai?
Oh, so that's where that episode came from.
Yeah. What yeah, they lifted Spike arriving on the bus.
So he actually, that's where he arrives in what? Have they even named the city?
No.
No.
And they're not going to.
It's damn just it. The city.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah. It's Angel Grove. We'll just go with that.
Why else would both be there?
Right.
I guess.
It's either Angel
so that was
Grove.
Samurai.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. You know why Bulk's there. There are giant monsters there.
Oh, I know. Maybe they're not in Angel Grove. Maybe they're on Miranoi.
See, no, that's too good of a twist act for them to actually do.
Okay. So that was Samurai this week.
Besides, he got off of Miranoi somehow or another. They just never explain how.
Right.
And I was wrong. Apparently there is a new episode next week.
Well, I think next week is one of the promised clip shows.
Promised clip shows?
Yeah.
Now, will the clip show actually be better or worse?
Well, it'll be worse because it will be parts of many episodes of Samurai all at once.
It's all the best parts of Samurai.
It's like having
So they are running multiple instances of the end credits?
So it's like having crap just injected straight into your vein.
No, that's this show.
No, I think that's Samurai.
Well, at least in this episode of Samurai, they kept the part from Shinkenger where they made the origami totem pole.
And
they actually called it that.
Yeah.
I'm actually
Well, impressed. They've got to show kids what their toys can't do.
They can't
that's
do.
True.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Nice. Well, it'll be even better when they get around to introducing Daigoyo, and they combine.
If they do,
they still haven't introduced Daikai Shinken though.
No, they'll get around to it. I was just saying though, it'll be great when they introduce that and show the combination with the origami there. But there's no toy to do it with.
Oh God.
It'll be the Flashpoint Megazord all over again.
Hey, you remember the name?
Yeah, I remember the name this time.
The what Megazord?
What?
The what Megazord all over again?
From the Overdrive,
one that belonged to the Mercury Ranger.
Yeah, the rescue vehicle one from Overdrive, whatever its name was.
Siren Builder.
You've forgotten it already.
Yeah.
It had a Microzord. Who cares?
Well, all of them in Overdrive had Microzords, didn't they?
Right. And that's the only part of the line worth caring about.
I was just going to say, it was the best part.
But
Morph was okay.
Of course,
this
RPM
would be more like...
RPM would have had a full Microzord line, too, if it hadn't, you know, canceled.
Well, I know they did come out in Europe, but who cares about that? We didn't get them.
No, not exactly. Not exactly. There was no Warrior Wheel, whatever the hell it was called.
Go Rotor,
yes.
Whatever.
A Rotor GT.
Yeah.
Road Attack Zord.
And they still did, and we still don't have the Dragon Zord from 2010 line.
Yep.
Never will. Probably.
Well, we got Rita a long time later, so.
And look how that turned out.
Well, mine turned out great.
Eventually. Took a while.
It was worth waiting for.
Mine looks fine, too.
Speaking of which, Mickey, did you get around to restoring your Tiger Zord yet?
Yeah. Well, I haven't got repro labels for it yet, but it looks fantastic.
Are you going to do that soon?
Yeah. The repro labels, Power Rangers... Well, the Power Rangers repro label stuff isn't really all that good in terms of actually making them look like what the original stickers did.
Well,
that's
no,
kind of the point, because the original stickers were not show accurate. Why would I want to recreate some kind of bullshit toy lightning bolts?
Yeah, that always bothered me when I was a kid.
Well, no, even they're not even good at that. We had find the Shogun Megazord with the flipped fish symbol on one of the arms.
Well, yeah, that is irritating.
Missing stickers from pretty much every set.
Okay, then.
But nobody cares about the Shogun Megazord because it has a pink arm.
Well, not anymore, it doesn't. Looks fine to me.
I like how any cosmetic problem that gets thrown down on it, something that Mickey has, like, nope.
Well, there's one cosmetic problem he can't fix, and that's your mom.
That would take a lot of paint.
Not enough paint.
But, you know, in Mickey's line of work, he has to deal with cosmetic problems frequently.
To cover a bruise, you must paint over it with yellow first.
Really?
Yep.
That's good to know, actually. I'll try to remember that.
Yeah, whatever your discoloration is, you paint over it with the opposite color on the color wheel.
Oh,
like,
okay.
If it's red, you paint over it with green.
Hmm. How interesting. But what if you have a plaid discoloration?
Then you better get a fine-tipped brush.
Either that or hope it's on something you can cover with fabric.
Yes.
I have a plaid Band-Aid discoloration.
Right on the forehead.
I have a plaid discoloration on my penis.
Well, that's from sleeping with
you.
You
don't need to know this.
That's exactly why he said it.
Yes. And on that note, I think it's space time.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Call that a segue?
I hope it's a segue.
Right off the
cliff.
We're
already off a cliff.
Oh, God. All right,
so wait,
Ken,
what are we talking about?
Forza.
I don't care anymore.
Ken's going to watch Forza for us.
Oh, no, well, I've already watched Forza. I just haven't had a chance to make my notes because I spent 2 hours digging with my computer.
And he still and didn't get anywhere with it.
What's that?
And vice versa.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, see, that's your problem. That's your problem, Ken. You're not supposed to be digging with it. You're supposed to use your hands.
Really?
There should just be attachment for that.
Well, that's informative.
Ken got a Mojo Wejo.
Yeah. Anyway, the Hound Zodiark continues to beat the ever-loving shit out of Forze, while Shun gets stuck in a tree, and then Scorpius Zodiark ends up jumping him. They letting the Hound Zodiark get away. Meanwhile, so
bad dog.
Yeah. Let's get my bearings here for a second. So there is a scene with them with distortion effects, stolen right from Shroud apparently again, where they talk about him, the kid that is using the Zodiark switch to give up his humanity, and then it's almost about to evolve into the last one switch, which is the first time they've ever really talked about amongst the villains about the switches changing.
And it still doesn't make that much sense.
No.
Well, I get it. I get a sense it's more like the more they do evil things, the quicker it...
Or the more they use it.
The more they use it, the quicker it evolves, and it just so happens that they go crazy whenever they use the freaking things.
It's like how you gain more experience points battling trainers than wild Pokemon.
Exactly.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Really, the same thing happened with Dopant memories, too. They just didn't change shape.
That's true. There's a brief scene with the teachers. And for some reason, Mr. Suspenders and Miss Sonata are actually there on Sunday.
Gee, that's really convenient since Scorpius just showed up.
It's really convenient that Miss Sonata just kind of vanishes into thin air, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, those will probably just be red herrings and...
Oh, I'm fine with that, considering they've already tossed up a couple red herrings for him. So, you know, at least there are a couple of different ways they can go with it. Just be someone else entirely.
They're going Gold Ranger on us.
yeah.
I was about to say, don't let us stop you, Paladin.
Next week, the red herring will be Skull.
Sure.
That was my favorite one.
And then Tommy's brother?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the actor can't get any work in the U.S., so going to Japan's not that far out of the question,
Which
right?
actor?
Does it
Tommy's
matter?
Brother.
Well, that...
He's dead.
He's kind of dead.
Is he?
Yes.
That must be why he can't get any work.
Yeah, he died a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So, moving on.
What happened to him?
The detention teacher, Mr. Satake, decides to give them, for sneaking out yet again, absolute torture as they get sent out in, you can
make them watch the show?
No, you can tell this school's kind of screwed up when their track suits look like prison jumpsuits.
No, absolute torture would be making them watch Go Sager.
Yes. Anyway.
Well, you know,
or Overdrive.
I imagine the track suits in
or
Tennessee.
Or Samurai.
I imagine the tracksuits in Tennessee schools would look like prison jumpsuits, too, because the Tennessee school colors are also orange.
Yeah.
But that's assuming that schools would have any sports that weren't football.
Which brings me to one of my favorite lines from this episode, where Gintaro says that he can't even tell the difference between football and rugby.
Yes.
Which is a pretty good line.
And completely appropriate for, you know, anybody who
Japanese
doesn't live in the U.S.
Yeah.
And for Gintaro.
And for Gintaro.
Well, to me, the only difference between rugby and football is the number of people who die in the process.
Yes.
Well, and the number of pads.
After a brief...
Because rugby has zero.
Yeah.
That's why more people die playing rugby.
Rugby's more interesting.
On the other hand, soccer has the highest casualty rate of all, but that's just the audience.
I would want to die, too, if I was forced to watch soccer.
After a brief exercise in penis envy between Gintaro and Shun,
they're trying to decide whose is more plaid.
I thought you were sure you were going to say Jake.
The Hounds of the Yard starts attacking the city again, and Gintaro rushes off, fighting it, but once again, getting his ass kicked, because once again Scorpio is a kind of a
troll.
Yeah, because he once again leaps in and stabs Gintaro in the back. However, this time Gintaro does get some help from the power dizer suddenly belly flopping onto the both of them. As
that
he tries to blow him away, Scorpio then knocks the power dizer away and blows up the incoming missiles, making you wonder why the hell he needs it to even use somebody else for his Zodiart.
He's lazy.
I'm sure there's some greater reason to trying to advance the switch.
Oh, I'm sure there is. It's just that he's kind of carrying this entire
fight.
It's
the same reason why Sentai villains just send a monster down every week and don't do it themselves.
I will give Scorpio credit for actually, you know, getting in there. It's just that every time Gintaro is about to, you know, blow the hound away, he just kind of stabs him in the back. Or she. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, it turns out it was
Maybe
not
he just Kingo. Thinks it's funny.
Yeah, it was not Kingo.
Again, troll.
Yeah, it was not Kingo in the Powerdizer, but instead Miyu. And when we see it open up, we see that, I guess the way that it works is actually a lot more physically strenuous than it would seem from the cockpit shots we've seen before.
No, it's really not. It's just that Miyu is a girl.
And it's Japan.
She's only equipped for cooking.
No, even
or you know,
well, no.
Coffee.
The thing is, she's a cheerleader.
Yeah. Well, the way it looks when it opens up reminds me a lot more of, say, Escaflowne and how it was actually, you know,
boring.
No, well, how it functioned and how it was actually controlled by the movements of the actual user.
Good try,
or G-Gundam.
Yeah, G-Gundam works too,
but G-Gundam wasn't boring.
Well, neither is this.
G-Gundam is after Asia.
And this isn't really a mobile trace system either.
No, it just the size of it and the way it looked when it opened up reminds me more of a guy mail off than say a Gundam or something like that.
But you know, if somebody pops out of the power geyser proclaiming to be the undefeated of the east, west, south, north, and center, and that they will become Super Asia and be the champion of them all, Ollie will totally give you the G Gundam reference, Fort Max.
I want to see that now.
Or if they have a horse piloting guest.
Suddenly a black power geyser appears.
No, Fort Max, the horse with the pilot, the motorcycle mecha.
No, we'll see the control system later on, and it's just an NES Advantage.
No, like the
Statue
of
Liberty?
Yes.
No, it's a power glove and a Sega activator.
Oh, God, the activator.
Maybe with a Kinect thrown in for good measure. Unfortunately, I have not figured out how to work the PlayStation Move into it yet.
Well, nobody else.
No one else uses the Move either.
Just use an iToy.
Anyhow, after the girl that Shun was stepping out on Miya with kind of dumps him, Gintara decides...
Because he was doing manual labor.
Yeah, Gintara decides to be kind of an asshole. And goad Shun... to the point where he absolutely freaking snaps. Like a twig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I do wonder how play ball translates to batter up.
Well, Overtime has this thing where...
With English words meaning different things.
Right. They will not just transcribe down the English in the dialogue.
Even if it makes perfect sense.
You can notice that in the opening for Forza 2.
Oh, yes. Or every time they say cosmic energy,
right?
Yeah, it's an odd quirk, but whatever. I know what they're saying anyway. Regardless,
yeah, that's why Overtime tells you that you're free to edit their scripts to your liking for your personal use.
There is that, yeah.
And once again, there's a layer of uncomfortable subtext between a teacher and the student in course.
Which part?
The part about him calling Shun a dirty boy and wanting to clean him up?
That was a few scenes ago, but yeah, it was a...
It still applies.
Anyway, I can see this next scene being one that not many people would like, where Shun just kind of breaks down and...
I actually was okay with that. Because it made Shun seem more like a person.
Yeah, there is that. And I'm also okay with it because the show knew how over the top it was when you have Gintaro and Yuki's reactions afterwards.
Right.
Because Gintaro's reaction is f***ing hilarious.
Yes.
But I had seen a couple people kind of raising an eyebrow at that scene, though I didn't really have much trouble.
Also great. The reason why Yuki's Yuki in detention...
That stupid f***ing hat.
Yeah.
That's what makes it awesome.
I think Yuki, out of the past three series, since Double, I think Yuki is definitely my favorite main female protagonist. Because she's just hilarious.
Well,
I still say Sadanaka wins.
Yeah, but she's not the main female protagonist.
Well, Sadanaka never did much, it's the problem.
Until she
wasn't being paid to do much.
Until later.
I like Yuki better than Hina, but I can't decide if I like her better than Akiko. Because
yeah,
Akiko was pretty great.
Yeah.
I hated Akiko.
I like Akiko.
I didn't like Akiko initially, but, you know, I kind of got to like the character as
yeah,
the show went.
But yes, not only the trying to get space books into the library, but trying to get this humongous, like, one that looks like it was like a tabletop book for little kids or something in the high school library.
Probably was.
And not being able to, and continually trying to get it to fit on the too small shelf.
She just wants space to be popular, that's all.
Unfortunately, there's not enough space for that.
The thing about Akiko, though, is that she was very kind of polarizing to a lot of people. Either you loved her, or you hated her.
And I can see why.
Yuki seems to be getting...
Or you could love to hate Akiko.
Yeah. Yuki just seems to be a lot more...
Universally accepted.
Universally accepted. So a lot more people seem to be liking her, is what it seems like. Whereas Hina was just kind of there a lot of times.
Yeah, pretty much.
Just usually to hit something.
Yeah, comically, but never, you know, for actual plot reasons.
Or throw a rock when Goto wasn't around.
It was a big rock.
Yeah, I mean, the one time her strength was used in a non-joking manner...
It didn't work.
Well, no, it... The one time that it was used in a, without joking, well, in a non-joking manner without it being pointed out, was War Corps. Let's go Kamen Riders. That's how long it took for it to actually be used.
Oh, yeah.
Without setting it up as a joke.
There was that. I completely forgot about it. I think the rest of that movie kind of made my brain implode. But anyway. Back to Forze. Jake comes in as Mr. Satake is about to ream his students once again. And
hot.
Feels... Yeah. Thank you, Mickey. Reveals that the Hound Zodiar is actually Mr. Satake's son. And the reason he does not like bad boys so much is because his son is kind of a...
bad boy.
Interquote.
Yeah.
That was so creepy.
Thank you.
Well, it was also very creepy every time Mr. Satake said it, too.
Oh, yes. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying that Fort Max was very creepy sounding.
Anyway,
Fort Max, do a Jessica Rabbit quote for us.
Forze chases the Zodiar Dam. But all of his...
Do it. I'll put it in the intro.
Anyway, all of his attacks end up actually kind of hurting him, so he switches to electric. However, that doesn't do much good because guess who comes in and stabs him in the back yet again?
Let me think. Scorpius?
Yes! Kengo calls the Power Dizer, knowing that if he uses it, he's probably going to end up in the freaking hospital. But Shun ends up coming in and saying he should let an athlete handle it.
As opposed to the chronically ill kid or the cheerleader.
Or Jake, but yeah, let's just leave Jake out of the damn thing.
So at this point, I'm kind of wondering, while Shun is not a writer, how often has there been a show where this early on that they've actually had a secondary fighter of any sort?
Kabuto? Tachibana.
Agito?
Kabuto.
Or, heck, on the original series where you have Tachibana fighting pretty much from
That's right.
When he first shows up.
There is that, but I'm talking about on the level of the actual monsters.
Well, then what about Agito? They had G3 before they introduced the main
That's fight. Also true. I guess it's just not something we've seen for a while.
I would say Kabuto really is the most recent instance, though.
Because Ixa didn't come in until about 9 or 10, right?
And Kagami was already the B in, episode 7 or 8?
Yeah, so I think Kabuto is the most recent example. Blade would be there up there, too, because most of the writers appeared early on.
Yeah, I mean, Tachibana was the first writer. Garen was the first writer you see in Blade, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I should rephrase. It's not something that we've seen recently, because that most recently would be then, 5 years ago.
Although, actually, I guess you can make a case for Decade on the occasion Kuga did fight.
I guess that
sort
is
of.
True.
Sort of.
But I kind of don't... I both don't...
I know, nobody wants to count Yusuke.
No, but it's hard to count Yusuke, and...
They just want to probe Yusuke.
Yeah, because after the Kuga episodes, he transformed for a little bit in the Kiva world, and then he does not transform again until, Dino.
Right.
So it's hard to count Yusuke.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not sure how much previous other pre-existing writers would actually count.
Yeah.
It's a fair enough point, too, I'm just saying.
Yeah, because you have writers 1 and 2 in the first episodes of V3.
Yeah, there is that, but then they get supposedly blown up and don't appear again for much later on.
Oops.
Yeah. And then Rider Man doesn't appear until near the end of V3, right?
No.
Hold on. Well, anyway.
Daimonji and the Power Geyser.
Yeah, Daimonji actually ends up kind of kicking Scorpio's ass for a while.
He definitely holds his own.
Yeah, and while gives throws Gintaro in a Kamen Rider version of the Fastball Special, allowing him to initiate a Rider Lightning Drill Kick, which plows right through the Hound's armor and destroys it. While Shun then goes to destroy his father's statue.
He borrows the Power Geyser for a few minutes to commit an act of vandalism against the school, but that's perfectly okay.
And yeah. You've got the Power Dizer fist bump.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
And what's better is that Shun actually kind of initiated it, too. So Gintara's just kind of like, okay.
Well, I think Gintara was a little bit iffy on that after the first strike, and it almost broke his hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so maybe then that's Daimonji why Shun initiated it.
And then Daimonji just keeps going with it.
I kind of want the Power Dizer toy now.
Yeah, and it comes with the bike, too. And plus,
even though the damn thing will disappear in 10 more episodes.
Yeah.
Actually, it'll probably disappear after this episode until around episode 30 or so.
Yeah, I figure
when they remember it.
I figure either the CGI budget will run out or Shun will actually end up being the secondary rider.
Or maybe Forze will have more than two riders and Daimonji will be, you know, an additional one a little later. Take the Kabuto pattern.
I would actually like to see them not go overboard with, like, you know, Hibiki or even the number of riders in Kabuto. But I would like to...
No mention of Ryuki?
Ryuki was a while back. Ryuki is a special case.
In every that meaning the of the word Ryuki.
Yeah.
What, Mickey?
But it was the whole point of Ryuki to have a whole shitload of riders.
Yeah.
I would like to. I mean, because, you know, O's basically had three riders by the end, though it was just by using two berths. But I would like to see if just like maybe a third one at least. I think that, especially with how quickly they're introducing the Astro switches.
Yeah, I mean they could definitely work it together where that would be possible. No, I mean, like Kabuto was okay with its first four. You know, it was just after that point when they kept on adding more riders into it that it started to be a little overboard.
Yeah, but I am liking starting to really get more into the fact that instead of focusing heavily on the plot, again, they're focusing more just on character building first before they get to that, it seems.
Yeah.
As next week will be...
If you have good character building, you can let the plot come out of that.
Oh, yeah, you still need a plot. And they have hints of a plot. And hopefully they'll get to that. But for the moment, they're doing good with character. Because, like, even Miyu has developed a hell of a lot just in, like, the past five episodes.
Yeah, just the character focus alone makes it entertaining.
He developed so much, he actually turned down Shun while on the moon.
Yes! And she hopped into freaking Power Dizer. So that's a fairly good amount of character development for somebody who I thought was just going to be sitting on the sidelines.
Well, look at what she did last week, too.
She just marched up to the Hound.
Yeah.
And Jake's actually proving useful also. So
no, that's debatable.
Well, he did find out who the Zodiac was.
Masturbatable. Well,
it's every character so far is providing something to the overall team, it seems.
Well, except Amazon Chick.
Yet. Though we know she does have, you know...
Issues.
Next week starts her focus story, right?
Yeah.
Then the next week after... And then we get a week off so that they can air a relay.
Oh, goody.
So is that going to preempt Gokaiger 2 or just 4s?
Just 4s.
That's okay then.
So we'll have 30 minutes of better television next week.
Not really. Well, there might be a samurai episode.
No, next week we'll just replace the 4s segment.
Not next week. The week after. Yeah.
Oh, so they're going to do it in the middle of the story too?
Yes.
Ah.
Well, Double did that when the Fang Joker introduction, I think.
Yeah, I guess. And we get Fire States next week also.
But no, what I was going to say is the week that Forze is preempted, we'll just replace it with an episode of the new Garo series.
Sure.
Really?
Sure. I knew you'd be thrilled by that, Mickey.
We'll get to that, but I will say just up front that I do think the TV series is a lot better than the movie.
Besides, Mickey, it can be like Ghost Age or Samurai. You're not required to watch the weeklies. Except for the one that you have to talk about.
But the one that I talk about is the one that I enjoy watching.
And that one will still be there.
Oh. And also...
Because they're not preempting Gokaiger.
And also, it might just make you talk about it anyway.
Well, no, because I know what Mickey will do if he doesn't want to talk about it, and I try to force it on him anyway.
I won't talk.
Pretty much.
You sound like somebody who speaks from experience.
Well, we have gone down this road before.
Oh, good.
My will is absolute.
Your wheel?
Yes.
Oh, God.
My wheel is a thing.
Eh.
Okay, so...
quotes?
sure, why not?
My wheel is fine. Okay.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
Okay, so have we covered Forza adequately?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Then let's go on and make a show of it with the other thing.
The other thing.
The other thing.
Yo ho, me mighties! It's time for Pirate Sentai action.
Mickey.
All right, Go Kyger. The episode I've been waiting for the entire series for.
Me too. And there's another one next week.
Hooray!
And I was just... I'll get to it when we get to that point, but there was something in this episode that did kind of bother me just a little bit.
That didn't kind of bother you?
That did kind of bother me.
I can't imagine what.
No, it's not. It's nothing to do with translations, trust me.
I wasn't even thinking that.
Well, the episode starts out with dessert.
Yay!
Always a good place to start.
And the dessert is... fruit.
Oh.
It's fruit that they've prepared to look like penises.
Well, there was also an interesting arrangement of kiwis that looked like something else.
I think there's something Don needs to tell the crew.
Yeah, I just,
Well, that would explain the hair, wouldn't it?
Well, there was that episode a few weeks back with the Buster and that kid, and...
And that time that he and Lucas switched bodies.
Yeah.
That was fun for you, wasn't it, Ken?
Anyway.
So then Deus Ex Machina, Bumper falls from the sky.
And lands...
Yokai crew is all, what the f*** are you?
No, he's all...
Marvelous.
Who are you guys? And then, of course, no, who are you?
Yeah, Marvelous just doesn't stop eating. He's like, what?
Well, you know, Marvelous is all secure and everything because... he's got his gun, and everybody around him also has guns. And they're not afraid to shoot people inside the ship.
In the face, without asking questions.
Right.
He's had enough meals interrupted with die intruders.
No
kidding.
Well,
no, here's the thing. This wasn't much of a problem. The meal's still there.
Right.
Yeah, as long as the food is there, Marvel's is fine.
Yeah.
Now, if Bomper would have landed on his plate of dessert...
I'll let him on.
On his plate of hairy, phallic dessert fruits...
There
you
would
know,
be more Bomper.
Plate of grapes.
Yeah.
And Guy would go into mourning, probably.
Well, Guy would just make Doc try to rebuild him.
Hysterically.
Yes.
Sobbing.
And so then, after and the then, opening, okay. Guy and Bomper commence with the introductions. And Navi smugly says that she's cuter, which she is.
And Guy also nearly hits Joe in the face.
Yeah.
I love how much goes on in a given scene in Go Kyger.
There's a lot of character acting.
Right. There's no reason for half the actions that take place in any given shot except to cement who the characters are.
You kind of wonder sometimes. And sometimes
I know it's good acting. I'm not used to that in Sentai.
Sometimes it comes across
especially after last year.
Yeah, sometimes it comes across so naturally. It's kind of like how we were talking about how Taikawa is obviously improvising sometimes with when he's Forze.
Were we talking about that?
A few weeks ago with Forze, how were you talking about how the suit actor for the common for the main Kamen Rider, how it seemed like in Forze he's been ad-libbing or improvising a bit more.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, well, wow. compared to O's, he's been allowed to just be silly a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's not even the point.
That's the feeling I get from here sometimes, because the way that, like, you know, Guy nearly hits Joe in the face is just so natural, and he just slaps it away.
Although we also know that they have good choreography
for
Gokaiger, so, I mean, it would be really easy to get that rehearsed in as well.
Certainly. But just occasionally there's this little quirks and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just another one of those things where I really love Gokaiger.
Yeah.
You get the feeling that the cast is actually having fun doing what they're doing.
They probably are.
Yeah.
Especially Guy.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
So, the crew is talking to Navi, trying to figure out what's going on.
Bumper.
And, I'm sorry, talking to Bumper. And Guy are relating to them the 11 brain worlds, to which the crew is slightly incredulous.
Well, wouldn't you be?
If someone tells you there's a Christmas world, I mean, wouldn't you, I believe?
They're aliens. They've probably seen weirder things in Christmas world. Well, maybe not Guy, but still.
Guy has dreamt weirder things, probably.
The brain worlds probably exist because Guy dreamt about them.
Though Guy, I don't think, is the one that was doubting, so.
Right. Yes, Guy knows all this to be true because he knows all this already.
Yeah. So Navi proceeds to explain that, I need to land here. Could you guys give me a ride?
Bumper.
This is almost as bad as the Body Switch episode.
Motherfucker. Okay, moving right along.
Remember, Navi's cuter.
Yes.
Maybe that's what's confusing him.
So the crew take Bumper down to the track where they find Sosuke racing.
Navi.
No, it's Bumper. Sosuke, irritatingly, is still having his black hair, which looks really weird in this episode. I guess it wasn't cut right, and they were trying to fake it.
Can I just say that it's a bad sign when the leader of the Go-Wangers tells Guy that he's kind of weird?
No, it's just perfectly in character for Sosuke.
Sosuke, yeah.
And plus, this is Guy.
Look, his teammates.
Make him the pot or the kettle.
Exactly.
I mean, remember the things he said to Takeru right to his face also.
This is true also.
You know, Sosuke is just that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is interesting that
Guy looks like he's being electrocuted and pissing his pants at the same time when he's shaking his hand. So, yeah.
Well, and then there's that whole thing where he copycats the roll call. Which, that's fine when Sosuke did that because he's supposed to do that. But, you know, then there's just Guy being Guy. Spazzy. But, no, it's interesting about Sosuke's highlights because, you know, apparently he has a job again and could probably afford to do it.
I like that Sosuke's racing suit has got all the crew's logos on it.
Well, the main
five.
Yeah,
he's got all the slogans.
Yeah.
Well, not the slogans, just the engines' names.
Didn't he have...
But it's a nice touch, regardless.
Didn't he have, Speed King or Mach Full Force's racing suit?
He
does.
Mach Full Force was what his was. But, but he didn't have any of... But he only had his of that.
That's what I'm talking about, though.
But we're getting bogged down in pointless details here.
Well, that's Fort Max.
That's all y'all.
I blame
me.
Fort
I wouldn't get into that.
And Paladin's right, not talking anyway.
Well, you couldn't hear me anyway.
Bumper starts to tell them what's going down and why they should give a shit. Apparently over on Samurai World, Sheriff Love Mess of the Guy arc
Gunman
is
World.
Running him up.
Gunman World.
Whatever.
In Navi World.
It doesn't matter.
Anyway, over on Toei's Western set.
With Miller Lite plaques in the background.
I'm surprised that it wasn't, like, you know...
Grateful Dead posters.
I'm surprised it wasn't feudal Japan world so they could just go back to their Edo period town set from all the Kamen Riders.
All the Kobayashi-written Kamen Riders, anyway.
So Bumper says the engines got their asses kicked and they need help.
Yeah, turn so, into action Sosuke, figures!
Sosuke gives a rallying cry of, let's go save them. Guy joins and in.
The Gokaiders give no not...
Well, that's their job.
Except... my only problem with this episode... Remember, Mickey, how you a couple weeks back you were talking about in the O-Ranger episode how they made it way too obvious they wanted to help? That was
I don't
kinda...
remember. I'll take your word for it that I said that.
But it was it's kind of feeling I got in this episode because Marvelous makes like three different excuses that are really thinly veiled throughout the entire episode, and it just makes it a little too obvious that he's, you know, just wanting to actually help.
Yeah, you know, Marvelous started out the series with that being true, and then little by little he's gotten to the point where this is just becoming normal for him to do stuff like this.
Yeah,
but he doesn't want to admit it.
I can see that. It's just that, I don't know, it just seemed a little, it just made himself a little too obvious.
He's running out of excuses is a problem.
Yeah, because he uses all the same excuses in this episode.
Also, what I'm noticing here is that Ken pays way too much attention when we're doing the show. he's remembered stuff from at least two of us that neither of us have any memory of talking about in the first place.
God.
To be fair, I don't remember what I ate for dinner tonight, so that's not really, you know.
I wish I didn't remember what I ate for dinner tonight.
Well, that's just because you're old.
It's just because it's coming out the wrong way.
No, that'll be later.
So, I does notice, though, that even though Sosuke didn't ask for his powers back, he's still going to go fight.
And he's got a great plan to get back in the Gundam world.
Oh, God.
It's a Sosuke plan.
That's what makes it
Which
great.
Which is a great plan, yes.
So with the rifting up in the sky, he figures the best way to get up there is via trampoline.
He can do it.
What can possibly go wrong with that?
And Bumper is about 50% on board.
Well, we can't fit
That's
the rest
about
of
Bumper.
Bumper
tries to support them, but...
He but
knows.
He also knows how stupid sometimes they are.
You can't help stupid sometimes.
And plus, it also means he gets to make Sosuke make a fool of himself again.
Well, there is that.
And Sosuke also managed to find his Go-Onger civvies.
It's probably
I'm sure he still held on to them.
Yeah.
That's probably just his normal street clothes he wears every day.
He's probably still living in Genjiro with the rest of them.
Well, then why didn't he go grab them, too, before he went on the trampoline?
You could ask
Maybe
that question. You could ask that question about a lot of things in Gokaiger. It's just better not to think about it.
I suppose.
So, after Sosuke has moved on...
does not work.
After he's moved on to pole vaulting, the rest of the crew comes up and says, okay, fine, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just that they didn't want to see him kill himself getting before he even got there.
I really love this episode.
It's just kind of...
So do I.
Let's take pity on him. Just once.
Of course, by now, Bomper's probably...
Well, they're just going... Well, remember, they're just
Fort
going
Mac,
to give him a ride.
Shut up a minute. What, Paladin?
Of course, by now, Bomper's probably just thinking, why didn't I go for the wings?
Yeah. At least they could have paid the Gokaiders to take them.
Well, gotta remember, the Wings would have already known about it without Bomper showing up to tell them.
This is true.
Yeah.
And Hirono totally would have made the trampoline thing work.
He would have just walked up to it. So
no, what Hirono would have done
rift
was,
into Gundam.
Hirono would have asked for the keys back so they could actually, you know, use their powers to get there.
Or no, he would have had the keys.
And Guy would have been like, what the hell?
Jumbo Whale would have ended up inside his Navi and talked to him and get the keys back. Since he's just everywhere. Okay, go ahead, Mickey.
Okay, so the crew fly through the rift and into Gunman World. And they start to walk around their theme park set. And by some really They all got some very obvious-looking wanted posters, but I can't for the life of me tell what they're supposed to be.
Yeah, because they focus in on that for a bit.
But not enough, but not in close enough so you can actually see what...
Yeah, it looked like one of the names said, like, Kana or something like that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's supposed to be Rin and Saki's pictures. Like, just the actors thrown in as a cameo or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, they see the Uguts harassing the townspeople, or borers, as they decided to translate it as.
Uguts.
Grinders.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't translate Gorman.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining, I still got this episode to us like within a day, so.
Actually, oh, yeah, Overtime, I was looking in the comments for that post, and Overtime's actually catching a little bit of flack for some of the translations in this episode.
Some of them, I get. Some of them, it's like, why?
It just kind of strikes me as odd because they've not been translating Gokaiger monsters or cannon fodder the same way. So, because, I mean, there's just as much of a joke in the name of the Gorman if you look at just the first episode with the Go Ranger Hurricane. But
I still like calling them dump troops.
Oh, sure. But
well, the stuff behind this is that Magenta had more free reign with this episode because Metal is a horrible person who hates Go-Onger.
See, you say that and all I can think is Heat kicks puppies. You know, I mean, it's the same kind of concept.
I'm sorry, if you eats don't... puppies?
Kicks puppies.
Oh, okay.
Well, same difference, really.
Yeah, I'm not so much complaining as it just seems a little odd.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I can dig it.
So anyway, fight time. The crew
as we get another one of those awesome. Down. As we get another one of those awesome marches through a crowd with their guns drawn, firing.
As Sosuke runs away.
Well, first Sosuke and old bearded guy beat up some of the Uguts, and then they say, oh, that was easy.
And then there's more.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, the Gokaigers decided that they weren't just giving him a ride.
So Marvel 3 uses his line from episode 1. Which
he sure
is,
does.
Yeah.
If we see something we don't like, we break it.
Basically.
Yeah.
If it's against the law, you
can have the way so, you know, he doesn't have to show them up or anything.
Show them up? Sure, let's go with that.
And then it's time for our worldly motherfucking dances.
Yes.
There wasn't enough dancing in this. There was not enough dancing in that fight.
The good part is it was I'm who suggested it with the Miss America key.
Yeah, I don't see how that's any less embarrassing than the Ibarre pink.
Well, at least one actually has powers.
I guess.
The power of America.
Also, an actual full helmet.
The power of American.
So, like, she does the electric slide or some shit?
Yeah. Oh, God.
No, that's Dynaman. Their ultimate power is an 80s soundtrack.
And big explosions.
But see, I think it was only like Joe and Luca that really did the dancing moves.
Who was Luca?
Battle Kenya.
The one on the second floor.
Battle Cossack did.
Yeah, Battle Cossack was Luca.
Okay,
Oh, wait, I don't know. Battle Kenya was
Doc. Was Battle Kenya.
That's right,
yeah.
Sorry.
Joe was Battle France.
That's right. And Joe did the low dip and then...
Yes.
Joe is very flamboyant when he wants to be.
But see, this is what I was saying before. This is the episode I've waited the whole series for, and it's both things I wanted at the same time.
I do hope we get more Battle Fever later, though.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't have their ultimate power yet.
No, they don't.
I get my Go-Onger episode and an extended Battle Fever sequence.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll definitely be getting Battle Fever again at some point.
Their ultimate power will be the Megazord Dance.
No, that's O-Ranger.
Well, no, we know what the O-Ranger ultimate
I'm gonna pretend
power
like I got
is.
That.
What?
I'm gonna pretend like I know what that means.
Just smile and nod like you do every time Fort Max talks.
You can't see it,
I know I'm not smiling.
Yeah. No, in O-Ranger, there was one bit where the Megazords danced. There was another point where they played basketball.
They did aerobics, too, didn't they?
I was just getting to that. Yeah, there was aerobics in there, too.
I find it really hard to justify all that, because what I've seen of O-Ranger, it's very stuffy and military and boring and desks.
I think that's why they put the Megazords doing aerobics in there.
Oh, okay.
Sure, that makes sense.
Hey, what the heck?
So after they exhaust Battle Fever's awesomeness, they then proceed to Change Man for some godforsaken reason.
Change Man, and the color breakup on Change Man always looks really weird to me, just because the
girls. It looks like there's two Pink Rangers.
Yeah.
And also they're all wearing sports bras.
Well, there's also that.
Well, they probably are.
Even the dudes.
Well, they're probably all five dudes.
I'm thinking the water girls. Gokai Pink suit actor's a girl, so.
Well, anyway. It's hard to tell when they got pants on.
Just like now.
So, with the Ugots dispatched, the crew catches up with Sosuke, who has recovered the main three engines of Speedor, Bison, and Bear V.
This is the one aspect of the episode I was disappointed with.
Hello, budget.
No holograms.
Yeah.
Well, that's because there's no...
It is not truly, truly outrageous.
There's no go phone, though, because there's no powers, so...
Right.
Yeah. Of course, then again, you have such things as Sosuke shaking Speed Orb to show he's, so he's talking.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not... It's like, they don't even mask it. Like, you know, sometimes when... Somebody will be carrying Navi, and there's probably a lever in her ass that makes her wings flap,
just like your mom.
Sosuke's hand moving.
Yes, he's just like shaking Speedor like a British nanny.
At the same time, you have them as holograms from the engine souls. Wouldn't really have worked very well in this because it's too much weird setup.
Yeah, I can understand why. It's just. Little
disappointing. They're supposed to be weird setup. It's a freaking Go Wander episode.
Well, they're already.
I mean, weird, setup. I've been awkward to get equipment to explain it.
The thing is, though, Mickey, I think the equipment they had in Go Wander to do that was just the Mickey was just saying that it would be like convoluted to get all the equipment and stuff that they used in story to have them project the avatars,
I'm just going to agree with it because I couldn't understand a word of it.
I followed along most of it. The thing is, though, all they ever had was the go phones and the shift changers and the docking station for them in the bus.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I completely understand why. It's just
They didn't bring the bus.
Well, and they wouldn't have the go phones anymore anyway because they don't have powers.
Right.
And Sosuke wouldn't be carrying three of them on him at once anyway.
Right. Yeah. No,
and plus, this isn't the first
about...
time we've seen the engines in small forms talking either, I believe. I'm sure it's happened at least once.
No, there was an episode where Speeder was all rusted and ran away from home.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
No, I mean, I gave this some thought, too, while I was watching the episode, and there's just no practical way to have them use the engine avatars.
Unless they gave him back his key, and then they could only use one at a time.
Right, they would have had to at least bring back the main three cast members, and that just wasn't going to
happen. Or the bus.
Well, again, though, the bus just has a docking station for the Go phones.
True. Yeah.
So
plus RPM
you would still...
blow it up.
Well, or they would have just had to bring Go on Gold.
Because he would just make it work.
He would have the Go phones with him.
Right.
Because Hiroto.
And all of this is far too complicated, because if you do all that shit here, you can't get the wonderful scene of Sosuke kneeling down between Speedo and Bear V as they confess their love and their child.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Right, we're kind of getting off track at the best part of the episode.
Yeah, let's get back to car sex. Wow, this
goes first.
And, of course, also, you have Mach Falcon just ramming through a bunch of greebled-up Car Ranger models.
Isn't it supposed to be more Mach Falcon?
Yeah, I like Mach Falcon better.
No, we're going with Mach Falcon because it doesn't sound retarded.
No, Mach Falcon sounds a lot more like go on your name, though.
And Mach Falcon, I think...
I agree with Mach Falcon
makes me think Home Alone.
Mach Falcon, I think, is the official name for it also.
Well, of course, if you go by the English names, you also have Condoles running around.
I guess that's a good point. Condole. Anyway...
Regardless, apparently Mach Falcon's a dick.
Yeah.
And he's the size of an entire highway.
Yeah.
And of course they...
Which makes me wonder
of course,
so many things.
Speedor and Bear V have no idea where they went wrong.
Well, no parent will admit the mistakes they made.
No, they know they've made mistakes. They know that they must have done something wrong. They just don't know what.
They didn't have the wings around.
Well, let's just assume for a moment that Speedor and Bear V are the equivalent of Sosuke and Saki.
Oh, God.
Imagine them as your parents.
Oh, God.
I imagine anyone would be pretty screwed up with that.
Except that Speedor's personality seems a lot more stable than Sosuke's.
But what about Bear V?
That wouldn't be hard.
Saki was crazy.
But what about Bear V?
Anyway, about this time, Sheriff Lovemeth shows up. And this is the first time we get a really good look at him. And this suit design is fantastic.
It really is, actually.
I love his David Bowie star eye and his mechanical tie.
Yes.
It's the mechanical tie that really just ties everything together.
And, of course, also the reference to Wild Wild West with the name.
Well, with the translation of the name, anyway.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic addition to the guy arc.
Yes. And, of course, he makes a big... His first move is making a big mistake.
He ruins Marvelous's dinner.
It's nice how they have these recurring themes. Anybody who messes with Marvelous's food is going to die.
And that does lead to the best part of the episode, I think.
The challenge to a duel.
Yes.
And now we see why Marvelous was wearing his coat again, so just so he can throw it back and show his holstered gun.
Yes!
Because I think it's the first time he's worn that in months.
Well, it's not summer anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I know why. It's just...
It's cold out there in the Old West.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, that in Gunman World, they had that very same cliff face.
And also, a couple weeks ago, when they got the Galleon Buster.
Yeah.
Well, the Brain Worlds aren't different physical locations, so they're still in the same place.
You're just in Gunman World, Japan.
Sure.
Gunman World Rock Quarry.
So it's more like Sliders.
Except with fewer rape factories.
Well, we haven't seen all the Brain Worlds yet.
Moving on.
So, surprisingly, it's the sheriff that cheats and not Marvelous, and he fires before the coin hits the ground.
I know, I was really hoping Marvelous would cheat first.
And it's a Go-Wander coin, of course.
It's Sosuke's old coin.
Yeah.
The same one he's been flipping since the first episode of Go-Wander.
I wonder where he had that minted.
He probably took it out of Bomper. It's probably Bomper's core metal.
No, Bomper's one of those machines that squishes quarters.
Oh, God. What combo would that make?
Well, it depends if Bomper is a head, a body, or legs.
Well, then we need to get Navi's core.
Bomper is all body. No legs or head on him.
Well, they have a head, body, and legs with Engino, so they can just use that to make a combo.
Well, Engino is basically an O's form, so...
Wonder what kind of song it would have.
Engine rap, of course.
Yeah. The song would go on longer than the fight.
Hey, just shut your belt up.
No, don't mind the song.
Anyway.
So, Sheriff fires first, and Marvelous responds by shooting his bullet out of the air.
because he is just that awesome.
He's Marvelous.
Sheriff, incredulous, fires a whole bunch of shots at Marvelous.
Because that must have just been a fluke.
Yeah, of course. And he shoots all of them out of the air.
Because he's Marvelous.
Yes.
Furious, Sheriff then takes off his shirt and fires nipple missiles at him.
And guess what? Those get shot out of the air, too. Oh, no, was that...
No, well, first he has the Ugots.
Before,
the Ugots come out, and they get promptly shot down by the others. So
I had forgotten at this point that the Gokai spear shoots lasers, because you keep seeing all these explosions, and then one tiny laser shooting them.
Yeah, it's kind of distracting, actually.
It's a
gun mode.
Well, yeah. that's Guy's whole thing. Distracting.
He's flashy.
Yeah. At first, I thought something was wrong with the screen. I was like, what? Oh, wait. No, that's Guy.
That's pretty much the answer for everything.
Every time Guy's on screen.
That's Guy.
What's wrong with this? Oh, no, he's supposed to be like that.
Genta would look at Guy and wonder, what are you on? And that's
well,
saying
Sosuke, that's a well, so, well, Sosuke already did that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Guy is Genta on a lot of caffeine and Adderall.
I mean, even the guy. I mean, even the guy. Genta was even weirded out by the Guy arc. So,
so
Genta had a lot of energy, but he didn't have the behavioral issues.
Yeah.
And then to make this episode even better, we have a Decaranger change.
Yes.
Sure.
It's SPT time.
Well, you know, you have the police fighting the bad sheriff,
and you have also a lot of guns. So.
That too.
I did kind of like how Guy dropped the judgment line, though.
He sure did.
Yeah.
And of course, Doc just is on the ground shooting.
No, he's not even shooting. He's on the ground just kind of trying to swat at him.
Yes.
Because Doc.
I feel sorry for all those costumes sometimes.
Yeah, I'm really amazed this stuff doesn't get more messed up than what we see.
Well, they have a costume department to repair them.
But even when you just see them like rolling around and get back up and the stuff isn't falling apart, that's amazing to me.
Well, if it was the Power Rangers, the movie costumes, they would be falling apart just standing there.
Several times. Not,
I've
you know, White Ranger's stunt actor.
Before.
White Ranger's stunt actor would attempt to make a slight kick and his pants would fall apart.
It was just his crotch busting through.
On the cover of TV Guide.
That's kind of remind me of this week's Garo also, where it's like, usually I got the impression they were always kind of careful with that suit because it looks very intricate and stuff. And this week they just kind of threw it into a wall. I was like, good God.
But anyway, back to Gokaiger.
So after Guy does the kill stealing, or tries, they bust out the Galleon Buster, then it's
Industrial
Revolution
time.
Yay.
Bakurium Energy Activate.
Except it didn't. You didn't see the green download.
Yeah, I know. We got all the internal gears and stuff, but... Yeah.
Well, they didn't always show the entire thing.
But they should have shown it for the homage.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next week.
Well, they showed one of the shorter versions, which they did all the time. So.
I don't care.
Maybe next week.
I want what I want.
Well, we still have one more Guy arc.
That's true.
Ojaru.
So... They summon the Zords, and Goju Rex goes off with Atomic Breath, which is awesome.
Such a Godzilla reference.
Well, it's a Dragon. Well, it's the Dragon Caesar reference, who was,
oh,
of
yeah,
course,
certainly.
A Godzilla homage.
And obviously. it was also kind of referencing.
Homage.
Homage.
Yeah, homage. It's that new thing.
It was also kind of referencing the Tyrannosaurus' breath attack.
Well, that was...
That it used a couple times.
Yeah.
Atomic Breath is Atomic Breath, and it's always awesome.
Yes, I know.
So, the gang decides, let's use the Go-Onger powers. That seems appropriate for this episode.
And here's the thing about that. Earlier in the episode, Sosuke had started to say, about your ultimate power, and did he get interrupted and distracted?
Yeah.
Well, that's Sosuke.
Well, their ultimate power is busy being late.
So they turn the key and...
Dragon Fever.
Yes, it's Dragon Fever all over again.
Nothing happens.
Nope.
Nothing.
Empty doors.
It's kind of embarrassing.
It's like, let's make a deal.
And Marvelous's suit actor at that point, even though he's fully costumed, you can almost just kind of see it in his stance. It's like...
Which was probably his reaction to a lot of this.
Oh, certainly.
So then we get to the absolute worst part of the episode.
Furemaru?
Yes. I was all excited because, like, shit, yes, Furemaru, bye bye, I don't have to see you again. And what happens? Loots my Go-Onger episode.
I kind of like Furemaru, but.
Too bad they didn't just pull out Shink and Gokaiō this one last time.
It would have been nice.
Yeah, I would have been down for that.
Yeah,
but they couldn't get the lion to come from human world to gun world.
Well, how'd they get Furemaru there?
He's
a ninja. Ninjas can do that.
Well, yeah, and he can't fly, so I guess he just went through the rift.
And his powers of sucking sucked him into the world.
You know, the Gowline would have had to get on Sosuke's trampoline and try to make it up there.
Poor Gowline.
No, or the island would just float over by the there.
Yeah.
He could just jump down.
Yeah, this is true.
If it was Magi Dragon, you know, that just comes out of Gokaio.
Well, I guess Furaimaru is a step up.
Yeah.
Not by much.
And, well, of course, time travel for Gozu Drill, so...
Time and space.
But so. Basically what we're getting at is that beyond we hate future. Furaimaru.
Gozu Drill goes over time and space. We all know that.
Yeah.
So... Poor Sheriff Love Mask blows up, lamenting that he only joined the Gart because he liked their name. Which is a really random thing to say, but that's a total go-on line.
Well, that's what go-on-ger's monsters do.
We know, Fort Mac.
I did miss that element of go-on-ger for RPM.
Of course, in RPM, the monsters didn't really talk much anyway.
Yeah, they were just kind of...
Yeah, the go-on-ger monsters were all fantastic, because they all had personalities.
I could see what they were going for in RPM, though. I think it worked for the show it was though.
So I'm going back on the ground.
Well, apparently there's a Gaia Arc on Earth. Mischief executive of the Gaia Arc, Filth a Cow.
Or however you want to call it.
Babacino, whatever it was.
Babacino or something like that. Yeah. Regardless, it's the villain from Shinkenger versus Go Watcher.
Well, the name's a poop joke.
Well, yeah.
But he basically goes, "Fool you," then he closes and locks the door.
Whoops.
By putting up his immigration control power.
Yes.
See, now he should have thought of this during... I guess he learned his lesson from the last one. From the last time. Let me make sure I get all of them trapped in one place.
Well, and it's better this time, too, because, you know, nobody else has any powers to come fight him.
Exactly. Like, this time I did not miss any of them. There's no random power scattered around. Those pirates have every single one of them. This is foolproof.
Wait, here comes Space Sheriff Gavin.
So next week we're all set for Kaizoku Aibo. Pirate partners.
And another Centaur Megazord form.
Yeah, Gao Gokaio the second.
I assume it's going to be Mokka Gokaio.
And hopefully an engine wrap.
Apparently Mokalkin turns the Megazord into Beast Machine's Rat Trap.
Oh, no, that's a bit more awesome than Beast Machine's Rat Trap.
Yeah, he's not going to be whining as much. Hard.
No, that'll probably just be Go on Gokaio, and then they'll have something else for the name when it combines with Gojujin also.
Engine Gokaio?
Ultimate Gokaio. Actually, I think that might
Cluster Gokaio.
There you go.
It's not quite this level of Samurai Howl, though.
No, not at all.
But it
does demonstrate that the ultimate power of the Goanja really is the Megazord Cluster.
Yep.
Now, if it could also somehow combine all the other previous power-ups with Gokaio simultaneously, then it would truly be the ultimate power.
Well, even if it doesn't, someone will find a way to make it happen.
I don't know how it would work with this. With the way Gokaio is set up, I'm not sure that could be.
They'll try. I just know it.
They'll try.
They will. Well, that was a good episode.
It was a fantastic episode.
Yes.
It's okay.
It filled with all kinds of nostalgia.
It kind of just left me waiting for next week, though. More
well,
than
yeah, that too.
But okay, we get two go on to episodes.
Like yeah, yes, that was kind of cool, but I want to see next week.
All right, so we've got two episodes for Go on to Shinkanger and Hurricanger. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have another. I'm sure they'll have more towards the end.
Of so far, I mean,
yeah. I imagine towards the end of the season, Go Ranger will get a fairly significant chunk of episodes. I would expect
the finale probably
towards it. I expect they'll factor in pretty heavily.
We need another Gelsito episode.
I think we need one more.
Do you really want to see what popped out?
Go Hide Your Returns, Gelsito.
No. Think about this for a second. Do you want to see what popped out of that woman?
Actually, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're a very strange people.
You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like Pigarishia. Throw half prostitute, half human.
But will the baby also be played by a former porn star?
Hopefully.
Right on.
Wonder what that ultimate power would bring.
Okay, so let's take a break, an hour and a half in, and we'll come back and talk power playback.
Superhero Time, where your mom jokes go to die.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the Street Fighter 3.
You're listening to Power Playback on Superhero Time. Look for Superhero Time's Power Playback every Friday afternoon on Twitter at TF Radio.
So it's time for Power Playback, which is Garo, Red Requiem, which I will not even attempt to say again because I will fail.
Red Requiem.
Yeah.
Requiem.
Wait, we're going to Ken for correct pronunciation? That's
homage?
Not quite as...
Yeah,
that's not
calling
quite
the channel black much.
For it, but still pretty bad.
Homage?
All right,
really
so...
want to go there.
Now, to be fair, Fort Max is Australian, so English is a second language.
Third, if he's space Australian.
How are the space dingoes doing?
They ate the space babies.
Okay, that is all going in the intro somehow or another. Okay, so Ken's going to talk about Garo for us.
Now, did you want the movie? Or just the primer on it.
Well, start somewhere and we'll just keep going.
Well, for the uninitiated, Garo is a series that focuses on demonic beasts called Horrors that are...
Horrors?
Like your mom.
Horrors.
Horrors. Not whores. God damn it, I knew
Horrors are demonic beasts too.
I knew something... I knew somebody was going to do that. Pretty much, you can never get rid of them, because so long as the evil exists in the hearts of humanity, they will always exist, also to feed upon them.
And also, as long as people exist, you know, there will be horrors.
Exactly. So, in order to maintain the balance so the horrors don't go out of control and, you know, eat everything on the planet, there exists an ancient group of warriors called the Makai Knights.
So as long as there is evil, there will be good to fight it?
Sort of, because the Makai Knights utilize actual evil themselves in order to fight it. So there is something of a balancing act for them as well, because they have to maintain a certain arm's length away from their own powers. Because if they use it too much, bad things will happen.
Like
this episode, apparently.
Like, there was that one time when Garo started turning into a monster because he wore his armor too long.
Yes, because each of the Makai Knights, their armor has a time limit of 99.9 seconds unless they are actually in a demonic realm where they can wear it indefinitely.
Unless the plot calls for longer.
Yeah, it's kind of movie time in that sense. Yeah. A minute and a half can take 3 minutes.
It's battle grid mode?
Something like that. Regardless, because there is one time when Koga wears the armor for way too long, and it starts to eat him and turns into a gigantic beast which rips people in half, and it's not a pleasant thing.
It's not a pleasant thing at all.
No. It is actually the cause of the main villain of the first series, Kiba.
That might be going into too much specifics, though.
Yeah. Regardless, the series, of course, focuses on the one who bears the most prestigious title of the Mekai Knights, the Golden Knight, Garo, who in this series, who is the current inheritor of it, Saejima Koga. And the thing about this movie is that this does not really give Koga a lot to do character-wise as it does in the actual TV series. He's kind of just there to swing his sword around. Where was I?
Something about Garo, I think.
Yeah, something about
Garo. And swinging swords around against whores.
Yeah, well, the reason...
Yeah, there's lots of tits in what I watched.
Yeah, that's a thing in Garo. They like
probably
to
flash not a
out.
Bad thing, but...
No, no, it's not a bad thing.
It may vary.
It just... they
greatly.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Oh, great, you've made Ken lose his place again.
Now you just got me thinking about other things entirely.
Yeah, really?
Garo is a late night series. Definitely. It kind of, at some points, it kind of just flashes the blood and tits in front of you as a means to say, look how adult we are. But then at other times, it is legitimately disturbing.
Like those CGI tits.
No, 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 no. I mean, like, things that will give you nightmares disturbing.
Your mileage may vary, though.
Mileage may vary, but there are some things in the series that is completely f***ed up.
Like?
The monster, the one guy that was possessed by a whore who made clay models.
Okay, yeah, that was a little bit.
Yeah, that was messed up.
Yeah.
Should I go into specifics on that or not?
No, probably not.
Let's just say it does some screwed up things.
But basically, there's a guy who wears magic armor and fights whores.
Yeah,
that's your series background.
A swordsman who fights demons, effectively. Garo is
so it's a McFarlane figure toy line turned into a TV show.
It's a little bit better than that, I think.
Actually, that's a little bit appropriate because the original series of toys did tend to break easily.
Yeah, well, the guy behind.
Did they have articulation?
Yeah.
Also appropriate.
Oh, well.
Also appropriate is the guy behind it is Keita Amamiya, who was also behind Kamen Rider Zetto and Kamen Rider J, as well as director for some 80s and early 90s tokusatsu, such as Live Man and some episodes of Jetman. Garo is basically his pet project.
Which is probably why the new series is exactly like the old series.
Yeah, and also because a lot of the people that worked on Garo really enjoyed it.
The other thing to remember with this, too, is that the original Garo series aired in 2005.
Yes.
And this movie did not come out till last year.
Yeah. The thing about this movie is it throws a lot of stuff in your face, I think, just personally. Because I watched everything from, like, the beginning of the first series up until Red Requiem and Makai Senki, which just started. And it strikes me that Red Requiem is not the best thing to start with. It is probably one of the weakest entries into the franchise, I think.
So that's why you had us watch it first.
Well,
I liked it very well, but
I liked it a lot, but I liked it after coming off of the TV series and Beast of the White Knight.
It was also, a standalone thing that did not require specific knowledge of what was going on in the TV series, since Garo's the only carryover from the TV series into the movie.
Yeah, to an extent anyway. I think it still does kind of leave some things cold. Like,
Who are these people?
Yeah, like, if you do not know what the Mekai Knights and the Mekai Priests are, which are basically the Mekai Knights replace the priests, and the priests end up supplying the knights with armaments and things to help them along their quests.
Yeah, that's the whole pretty standard trope right there.
Yeah,
I mean, basically. I didn't feel lost by anything that I saw. I just felt that nothing was happening.
Yeah, I like the concept. I like the designs. I might go back and watch the regular series, but I just didn't think this was that enjoyable.
I think the thing about Garo is that it is very slow and methodical in its individual episodes, except those are 23-minute episodes and this is 90 minutes. So you get the kind of insane shit at the end of every episode, but it took an hour to get to the insane shit in this movie.
Sounds like Kuga.
Actually, that's pretty applicable.
I suppose.
I think that's pretty accurate.
Maybe we can get to the summary of the movie now.
Yeah. Do you want me to do that?
Yes.
Okay. The movie starts out with two Makai priests hunting down a horror. Actually, it ends up being more than one horror. After another priest named Rekka, who has been missing for a while, appears and destroys the first one. But it turns out the other one was a baby. And here's the thing about Garo. When a human being is possessed by a horror, they are as good as dead. So
I hate
when
the horrors possess me.
Yeah. But
it only costs a nickel. What up?
This means that horror had possessed a infant, and as Kola arrives to fight it, he has to thus kill a baby. Which is where I get to the point of Garo is a little f***ed up.
Just a little.
Just a little.
Yeah.
After feeling the horror out, Koga transforms into Garo and makes short work of the horror. But that's not the job he's arrived in the city for, as he's seeking out another horror that has taken the lives of several Makai knights named Karma. And which is the priest Rekka is not very happy with, because she wants to kill Karma.
Even in this show, Karma's a bitch.
Yes.
But I'm bumps.
Karma has two underlings. I forget the name of the guy. The girl's name is Shion.
That's anyway. Just that dude.
Yeah, that dude. They are in the process of using a nightclub to beckon women to its back room so that Karma can eat them. Karma is a demon that lives in a mirror, and rather than she possesses those rather than possessing humans. Only she just eats humans after sucking them into the mirror, or more specifically, she eats women.
Where's Ryuki when you need him?
Yeah. Another thing about Garo, it's not always very kind to female characters.
It's not Garo, that's just Japan.
Yeah, no, the subplot of the whole first series was about using a girl as bait for the monsters.
Because she had been splashed with the blood of a horror. So, at first, Koga thinks it's a good idea to have her not kill her as they're supposed to be. Because anybody who is splashed with the blood of a horror and is exposed to it is supposed to be immediately executed. He thinks it's a good idea to, at first, let her just hang around as bait. Though that changes over time. Anyway, with the actual movie, let's see, where was I? Karma eats people.
I really like club.
I really expected this to go better when I thought of it.
I'm trying to figure out the best way to rush through it, because it's a 90-minute movie.
Yes, but
you're doing a very good job of that.
If as little actually happens as the others would suggest, you know, then it should go pretty quickly anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along, Koga gets help from the other priests that were with Rekka to help seek out where Karma might be hiding. Rekka is not very happy with this still, to the point where Koga berates her, even after finding out that her dad basically got killed by Karma. Move along. Eventually, he does find one of Karma's flunkies, Shion, as she's about to drag a woman back to that nightclub. He ends up following them to the nightclub with Rekka in tow, and discovers that a barrier has been put up around the place that is keeping them from being able to detect the horror. It turns out that one of the other priests, Akaza, who is actually one of my negative points in this movie, because this old man does some serious overacting.
Even for this kind of thing.
Yeah, he's
thing.
Yeah. It's he just sticks out because everybody else is so subdued in their acting except when necessary. But he just does these dramatic and almost comical takes at stuff.
It's noticeable even after this week's fours.
the difference between you're slowly changing how you say that, I notice. But it's different in Forza because everybody is insane in that show. In that show, you expect people to flip the hell out. Tracking to the back of the nightclub, Koga and Rekka discover Karma while her flunkies try to take off with it. There's a fight, and Koga attempts to summon his armor after the guy turns into a gigantic whore. Only then the armor gets sucked into the mirror.
A man whore?
It happens. Just look at Johnny Depp.
Sure, why not? Now, with unable to transform, Koga gets his ass kicked and is nearly killed before they are saved by the other two priests, Akaza and Shigeto. Of course, they quickly deduce that Akaza was the one who erected the barrier because he had been given a glimpse of his dead family. Basically, he's now a dead man walking, because if there's one thing you can tell about Garo is that the people that are in charge of the Makai Knights are not very kind. And I don't even mean the ones that Koga was working for in the first place. They don't really suffer bullshit much. So he's pretty much doomed. However, Koga talks him out of killing himself just yet. Because there is still things that he can leave the other younger priests. Regardless, they do know.
In other words, they just want his stuff.
Actually, that's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Yeah. They do end up with Rekka's magic goldfish, end up finding out where the where Karma has been stashed in a building on the outskirts of the city. And they go there to track her down. Of course, Akaza actually comes in tow, wanting to atone for what he did. And they set into the building to track down that stupid mirror. Over the course of it, though, they run into a lot of resistance in the form of Rekka having to fight Shion and Koga having to fight that guy whose name still forgets.
That old guy that looks about as much like the young version as old Billy looked like Billy.
Pretty much.
There you go. An analogy we can all follow.
Yeah. What follows is basically the next 30 minutes are basically one long fight scene after another, as Rekka kills Shion, while Koga fights that guy and a bunch of cannon fodder, but he ends up getting away because he tosses Koga out a freaking window. At this point in the movie, I kind of think that it almost would have been better served to have Zero appear at some point. Zero being the other Makai Knight that it's focused on in the first TV series.
The secondary rider.
Yeah,
actually,
much.
Exactly that. Because they could have done something to kind of tie in Ray's story with, you know, this guy had lost his long-lost love and was trying to regain it and all that stuff. It just seems like a missed opportunity.
Except I think the whole point with Red Requiem is that they wanted to make it accessible for people who were not familiar with the original series.
Oh, yeah. I'm just not sure how accessible it ended up being entirely.
Well,
with some folks.
Not very, from what I saw of it.
Yeah.
Point.
It was accessible, it was just boring.
It seemed more to me like it was trying. It wanted to be accessible, but wasn't entirely, because there was a lot of things in it that really seemed more targeted towards expanding the Garo universe.
Right, and that's not an opportunity you would pass up with this, but at the same time, you would make it where, okay, you don't specifically have to understand what we're doing here if you don't already know the material.
That's true. But there are things like Koga's flashbacks. They don't have as much of a impact if you had not seen all the flashbacks in the TV series.
Yeah,
I could see that it's could work. I can see this working as a primer for the new season.
It kind of does work that way, because there are elements of Red Requiem that end up bleeding into the new season, and some of the characters from Red Requiem are supposed to appear in the new TV series.
Right. I mean, this movie stays in continuity with the series.
Which is more than you can say for most Rider movies, at least.
Right.
It would undoubtedly be a better pilot launch than Shin.
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, at the very beginning of Garo, there is stuff you don't understand until later on anyway.
Right.
So you could argue the same thing there. But it just felt like there should have been just like a little bit more than just Koga and Zaruba. Just a little. Even if it was just briefly.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're coming from with that, but I can also understand why they went the way they
went. Oh, yeah, I can
completely... And that it might have been better just as it was.
Oh, yeah, I can understand why. I'm not necessarily complaining, it's just that I think they could have done just a little bit more.
I mean, like your specific example before of adding Zero in, I think that would have just confused things a little more.
Possibly. Although at the same time, it could also be played off to a new viewer as just another Makai Knight that he knows that was able to make it in time. Because the thing was, they couldn't really call for reinforcements because they needed to find out where she was as soon as possible.
Right.
But anyway, eventually...
Back to the half-hour fight scene.
Yeah, back to the half-hour fight scene. Eventually, Koga, Rekka, and the priests find Karma's mirror, but not before the her last underling interrupts him. And
Koga, that guy, you mean?
Yeah, that guy. Koga and Rekka end up getting sucked into the mirror with Akaza and Shigeto having to hold off the horde at bay that is trying to, you know, mow them down. Inside the demon realm that Karma exists in, Koga is able to, after that guy has this soliloquy on, you know, why he's doing what he's doing, which Koga does not give a shit about.
And neither did we.
Yeah, well,
Koga doesn't give a shit, but he's not as flashy about it as Marvelous.
Yeah, he doesn't give a he's kind of like he's kind of applicable to Takeru, but he's more humanized, I guess you could say.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, he's able to recall his Garo armor, and because he is in a demon realm, he has no freaking time limit. So he cuts that guy down in with no problems.
In no seconds.
Yeah, it's late. I've had a Give me a break.
Well, we'll try to wrap this up.
Yes. So, Karma transforms into a giant naked chick. And this is only the second giant naked chick Garo has had to fight.
Yeah, there was one of these in the series, too.
Actually, from what I've heard in supplemental material, Karma is supposed to have some relation to Messiah. And actually, Karma's voice, though not the actress that's portraying her, but Karma's voice is actually Kaoru's actress.
Right.
Who did Messiah in the TV series. So, there is actually supposed to be some relation there. Which is another thing that is completely...
Man, those
lost
bouncy CGI boobs just...
Well, I don't think that's necessarily CGI boobs so much as boobs put into CGI.
The body is fake, but the breasts are real.
Sort of. Well, the arms and legs are fake, but the rest is real. And has a coat of CGI.
That's really matter the breasts are fake or real.
I have no idea. Ken's the one who's talking about it. It
doesn't really matter.
Nothing
anyway,
really matters.
Garo gets his ass kicked even after summoning his horse Goten, which is yet another point of.
Maybe he should have also summoned Trunks so they could fuse.
Yeah, but summoning Goten is also another point where a new viewer is probably going to be like, "What the fuck?"
Well, he's a big golden knight, so of course he's going to have a magic golden armored horse.
Then his
it just makes sense.
And then his sword just, you know, increases in size just because, but that is another power he gets from summoning Goten.
No, I blame that on the naked chick.
That's another way to look at it, yeah.
Yes, that is. Anyway, he gets his ass kicked until Akaza ends up killing himself because the only way that you can enter the mirror otherwise, besides the artifact that they'd been carrying around through the entire movie, which I forgot to mention.
It's through the butt.
is by being dead.
Oh.
So, Shigeto, I keep mixing them up for some reason. Akaza.
You have that problem a lot.
The old guy who's probably going to be dead anyway because of...
No, he is already dead at this point because he stabbed himself in order to enter the mirror. He returns Rekka her flute and she ends up stirring the spirit of all the Makai Knights that Karma had killed and devoured, including her father, who she is able to see briefly, before they all power up Garo into a giant dragon-tailed...
Battleizer Garo.
I'd buy that.
Battleizer Garo actually happens pretty much at every climax of every Garo story, it happened. It happened in the TV series, it happened in the TV special, and it happened
But is it a climax from start to finish?
It's really only a climax at the finish.
Yeah. Momo wouldn't approve.
Yeah, Garo's climax, like I said, it always starts slow and methodical, and then it builds up into something that is absolutely freaking insane.
Besides, he is just a Japanese guy.
Yeah. Anyway, Battleizer Garo end up destroying Karma, and they are able to free themselves from the mirror, only to find that Akaza has killed himself.
Sad trombone.
Boom, boom, boom. Regardless, with his mission done, Koga leaves the city, while Rekka gives him a parting gift in the form of one of her creepy-ass goldfish.
Which, well, at least he has dinner now.
Not quite, actually, because that goldfish will be back. There is, of course, after the slow version of Garo's theme song, sung by Zaruba's voice actor, who is a member of Jam Project.
Yeah, it should be noted when you say that Zaruba's voiced by
Hironobu Kageyama.
Yeah.
Singer behind many Dragon Ball Z songs and a hell of a lot of Super Robot songs in the last 10 years, as he is the lead singer of Jam Project. Jam Project seems to have as much of an affinity for Garo as the actors do, because they are back, because they do the opening themes, and they are doing the ending theme now for the new series also. And of course, as pointed out, Hironobu Kageyama voices Zaruba, so he's pretty much in every episode.
Right.
But Zaruba does also name the fish Kaoru, which is once again one of those other things that is completely lost on anybody.
I.e. all of us.
Except me, XV.
Right.
And our dozens of listeners.
Well,
that many?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Did we ever have that many?
Garo is really a hard series to sit down and try to explain why it's awesome.
Even Barricade didn't watch this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I didn't even really get it. Even after I was through, like, the first 5 episodes, until I reached episode 7, where they introduced Zero. And then I was like, oh, okay.
See,
I get this now.
For me, what did it was the untransformed fight sequences.
Oh, the untransformed fight sequences in the TV. Because, see, here's the thing about Red Requiem. The Garo team, at this point, had lost one of their lead action directors. So, the action scenes in Red Requiem are not nearly as good as the TV series. And if you want to know where the action director from the TV series went, it was Power Rangers Samurai.
That's kind of sad.
That's very sad.
Well, Garo sounds great.
But... but they have since kind of picked up more towards the TV series end of things with Makai Senki, I think. Because the action sequences in Makai Senki so far are easily on par with the TV series. The first TV series, I should say.
I would say they're equal footing.
Yeah, especially the last episode where they kind of taught Kamen Rider how to do Kamen Rider, I think.
Inasmuch as the whole thing was a giant exercise in motorcycle combat.
Exactly, which Kamen Rider hit. Double did it well sometimes, but it's not something that's been very prevalent in Kamen Rider for a while. I think Double was the only series in recent memory that actually did it well to a decent extent.
Thanks to T-Rex Dopant.
Yeah, that was actually... See, I'm one of the few people that actually loves that fight, just because of the motorcycle chase.
I like the fight just fine. The costume's just goofy.
It's fine.
And Akiko won't shut the f*** up.
It's fine once he turns into a giant CGI monstrosity.
Well, that's not a costume. Trying to do.
Say what, Mickey?
I appreciate that scene where they're trying to do the whole running down the street and then climb up the building and then that CG just...
Well, I think in that case, that is a case where the CGI, I mean, the intent, the imagination of what they were trying to do outweighed the CGI for me.
Yeah.
Which is Garo in some points also. Because especially early on, Garo's CGI is...
awful.
It's fun, but it also was 2005, so you got to think that was.
On the other hand, for Japanese CGI in 2005, the original series had some good points in CGI.
Oh, yeah, it had excellent points, especially towards the end. I think, again, I think the key point is at the point when they – because up until they introduced Zero, I did not like the Transform fights. I only really liked the parts when Kogu was filling out his enemy when he was, you know, trying to find their weak point before he transformed.
And he was doing, like, these corkscrew spins in the air.
Oh, yeah. And the fun part about Garo is that most of the stunts are done by the actual actors. Especially Kogu's. Because a lot of the times in the stunts, you can, if you pay attention, you can actually see their face. Which is not something you can say for a lot of series sometimes.
Yeah, they get right in there and do it.
Oh, yeah.
Just like your mother.
But in the TV series, the key point of when I actually started enjoying the whole thing was, again, when Zero is introduced. Because that fight between Garo and Zero, when they are falling down those buildings, is pretty good.
Although that was one of the weaker CGI quality moments, I would say.
But necessarily,
for how much of it there was.
Yeah, that is, again, the point where the imagination of outweighs the CGI, because I will not sit down and tell you Garo CGI is good by any extent.
Right.
The stuff in Red Requiem is better. The stuff in Makai Senki is better than it was in the original TV series, barring a couple of things here and there. But I will not sit there and tell you that Garo CGI is good. But from what I've been listening and reading up on Amamiya, he goes more for what he wants to put what is in his head on the screen, no matter how he has to do it, even if it looks obvious.
It shows.
It does, but it also allows them to really not give a crap about what's the way I'm putting it? It's like when they completely defy the laws of physics in the final episode so terribly, and yet it's really kind of awesome how they do it.
Okay.
Like how at the end of the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra movie, they blow up the ice cabin and the ice sinks.
try falling through the sky for about 10 minutes straight while fighting a sword fight on a spinning disc that's about to slam into the ground.
Bearing in mind that your initial altitude with that was just a few thousand feet.
Yeah, and then once they hit the ground, the fight still doesn't stop.
You win again, gravity.
No, right. Gravity does not win in Garo.
Right, when they hit the ground, the giant round stone is rolling, and somehow they're fighting on the inner surface of it, but not moving their feet in accordance with how the stone is spinning.
And see, that should have bothered me. But at that point, you were going for, like, there'd been, like, three or four episodes straight of just fighting, 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 fighting. And at that point, it's like, I don't even care. Just go with what you want. It looks cool.
Except in that instance, I was like, okay, can the stone stop now? Actually, after the, like, second building it plowed through and kept flying and falling, that was about when I'd had it with that.
I don't know, just something about that, about just, you know, just saying all to logic at that point. I found
kicking reasons
endearing.
Of the curb.
Yeah, I just found it kind of endearing that they just kept going on with the fight up until everything finally exploded. And then, only then, does Koga actually transform.
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like is that, because that suit's gotta be heavy, you know, the fight scenes are generally not as animated once he's transformed, unless it's heavy CGI.
But, what I was saying with earlier about...
Oh, right, you were trying to make a point, weren't you?
Yeah, some of the recent episodes...
That's why we've been going for almost 40 minutes on this.
Either they have either they have made the armor lighter, or they've found a way to get around... Because it looks kind of fragile in the original series.
It looks like a Chinese knockoff. It's all chrome and shit.
It looked fragile, but... As I've seen in the recent episode, they were just kind of throwing it all around. And it kind of got the sense that they've either figured out a way to make it more mobile, or they've gotten a lot of extra suits.
Maybe they made the original one out of real metal, and this one's just plastic molds.
But yes, I am. I'm really wishing I watched Garo earlier at this point. I really do like it, but I can understand why it was hard to get into, because it was really hard for me to get into at first.
I might try the original series now, though.
It again, I would go through the original series at least up to episode 7, because that will give you a wider idea of what they're going for overall. Not to say that the episodes before are not good, but episode 7 is where it is, I think it gets really great.
I think I'll check out Garo after I finish Fives.
So, never?
Eventually.
I don't think I don't think I would
I don't think you'll actually finish Fives, Mickey.
I don't think it will finish Ken will you. Ever bother finishing his points either.
Well, nobody
I thought he made his point.
We're that Garo is point? Awesome and I like it.
Was that the point?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Well, it is now.
Hey, nobody stopped me yet, so
my mistake.
Yes, it is. Hey, this is all your fault, actually.
No, it's all Decade's fault.
No, he came up with this like 2 months ago.
Well, and next
week...
That's
also all Decade's fault.
And next week is something even more hilarious, because it's something Paladin asked for back in April.
Oh, yes, Kiva.
Yeah.
I thought it would be appropriate for Halloween.
No, it is. It's just it's funny that you asked for it 6 months ago.
And he
if I
remembered.
Didn't, I'd forget and you'd schedule something else.
Yeah, except
you
jokes
schedule
on...
something else anyway just to screw with us.
No, joke's on you, though, because I actually wrote it down when you suggested it, because it actually was not a bad idea.
No.
Guess who's doing the episode summary?
Fort Max! Okay, so, Paladin, you wanted to do the Spider Fangire?
Exactly. Which would be episodes 5 and 6 of Kiva.
Are we going to have Wingus?
Oh, God, poor Wingus.
Ooh.
You brought this up weeks ago. Oh, of course, you don't remember what you say. Never mind.
Right. But I do remember Paladin bringing up Kiva in April.
Yeah, but you wrote that down.
Well, true. When you write something down, it's easier to remember it after.
Typically,
you
yes.
Remember that you wrote it down.
What?
That's some random pop-up. That's not a good sign.
Oh, Windows.
Well, that's somebody else's computer, though, right?
No, I have my other computer on over here trying to figure out what the hell went wrong with my damn Skype.
Oh, and that's where the pop-up came up?
Yeah, that's not
well,
a good
you
sign.
Got a virus.
Yeah, I think so.
That's probably why Skype doesn't work this week.
Probably. God damn it. Oh, well, that's why you back shit up. I guess I'll be nuking it on my next day off.
But you know what has worked pretty well this week? My internet connection.
Oh my
the cow,
god!
The cow's alive.
You nailed the cow in place, didn't you?
I guess it figured I had so much trouble finding a computer I could load Skype onto.
That or Garo Garo.
See, Fort Max can't do it either.
That or Garo just bored the cow to sleep.
You recorded all this, right?
Oh crap! What? No raucous laughter from that?
No, nothing of value is lost.
I'm recording.
Oh, goody.
But yeah, I imagine there's just like a certain level of things that have to go wrong with the show, and Ken filled the quota before we started.
God, right I did.
Plus, you know, there was Garo, too, so.
And Samurai.
Well, we only talked about the good part of that.
With what, 8 seconds?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh yeah, Bulk showed up, okay.
And, you know, the heavy-handed exposition that Spike was Skull's son.
You know, yes. what the best episode of Samurai would be? A
the
clip show that is just the Bulk clips.
Is there enough to do that, though?
Not yet, but maybe by the end.
Keep working at it.
Bill just added some Rangers. Of those best hits of Bulk and Skull from G2.
Kind of the old VHS tape they had that was just the Bulk and Skull moments.
Yeah. I remember that.
That was a great tape.
So, you decided to keep your figure arts you bought, Mickey.
Yeah. I'm glad I did.
They're nice, aren't they?
They are. You're right about Shingen Gold having a weird green tint about him, though.
I don't
yeah.
see that.
And the gold on Gokai Red's kind of the same color.
Because, I mean, I have... Shinken Gold, Gokai Red, and Garo, and all, they don't really seem to have that kind of, maybe it's just the lighting.
Maybe your eyes are bad.
Maybe it's just because you have nothing
bad.
No, it's Bandai. Bandai seems to be weird with gold altogether.
Well, and like, look at Shinken Gold next to the Epi Origami. You know, it's two completely distinctly different shades of gold.
Or put Shinken Gold next to your Gokai Changer Gold. The gold in the Gokai Changer is much more orangey.
Okay, I see what you mean a little bit. I've never thought of it as like a green, though.
Well, if you look at the color wheel, yellow gradually shifts into green the more you slide. This is still on the yellow side, but it's on the green side of yellow.
I see what you mean now.
It's in that neighborhood.
The fact that it's bordered by blue doesn't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Well, and I had wondered, too, if the blue plastic was not part of the reason why it looked green, but that wouldn't really explain Gokai Red.
Yeah.
No, it's definitely the color of the paint.
And I guess Gaara doesn't jump out to me because he's all gold, so.
He might still have different paint.
And see, the irritating thing about Shinken Gold here is I just watched his introduction episodes of Shinkenger today for the first time, and that suit is really orangey gold.
Yeah, it is.
It gets duller as the show goes on.
It tarnishes.
As does he to a little extent.
But at no point does he look like the Power Rangers Samurai Gold Ranger.
And that's what's important.
Well, I don't know. That's not a bad color gold. Even if it is,
no, it is a bad thing to be anything like the Samurai Rangers.
Even if it is a little earwaxy,
it's a little plain.
Yeah,
like his sushi.
Earwaxy.
Plain sushi. Oh, never mind.
Earwaxy sushi.
Like, what are we talking about?
I don't know anymore.
I've been to a place that had earwaxy sushi. It wasn't fun.
I expect not.
They use earwax instead of egg.
Egg.
Little yellow chunks inside there.
That's really not what I meant at all.
Oh.
No, just like the consistency and such. Stop ruining my fun.
My earwax is never consistent.
So that's why we're here.
Yeah. I know, mine's not either. Sometimes it's like really hard and crumbly, and other times it's like runny.
Sometimes it's like sap. Like tree sap on your car?
Yes, sort of. Maybe a little less
sticky.
Touch
it and it sticks to your finger, it just never comes off.
Well, it's not that bad.
Wipe it off on a biscuit.
Well, that'd be more like the consistency of honey, wouldn't it?
I was just eating biscuits with honey, guys.
This conversation is now all worth it.
It so is. Okay, I think that's going to be our show for this week.
God.
So next week we'll have some episodes of Kiva. Sadly, not featuring Ixa.
Aw.
But greatly not featuring Garo.
Well, there's that, too.
Unfortunately, featuring Wataru.
Well, that could be a problem, too.
Yeah. Especially early Wataru. I have been watching a little bit of Kiva, and... not much.
Well, it's okay. The only reason to watch Kiva, anyway, is for the 1986 side.
Otoya.
Otoya makes things worth it.
Yes. He needed to have a whole series to himself.
Really?
Instead of Kamen Rider Kiva, we should have had Kamen Rider Ixa. But oh well. Okay, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
So long.
Bye.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
It's an interesting thing I've observed, which is that if you write something down, even if you don't refer to your note again later, the information's more likely to stay in your memory from the act of writing it down.
From the physical act of writing. I can see that.
That's the kind of bullshit teachers used to tell me in school. Take notes. It'll help you remember.
Actually, that's the kind of bullshit my managers tell me, and they're usually right, actually.
It's funny, too. I was once told by a manager to... take notes, and then when I started taking notes, my manager yelled at me for taking notes.
Well, that's backwards.
That makes sense.
Well, it was Walmart.
From a manager.
Oh, well, yeah.
And yes, it makes perfect sense being that it was a manager.
Also that. And it was retail in general, so.
So madness is the operating procedure.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. You didn't realize that yet?
He's worked retail. He knows.
Yeah. Three Christmases at Toys R Us represented.
Yes, we've had this discussion. Oh, yes, I get to do Thanksgiving in grocery retail in a couple weeks.
Ah, I remember that. And Christmas.
Hey, unless you've worked Valentine's Day at a card store.
Oh, God, you poor bastard.
I tied balloons until my fingers bled, literally.
You do Mother's Day, too.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I had to gift wrap a wall.
I'm sorry, a what?
You gift wrapped a wall?
Yes.
How do you...
I imagine it involved a lot of tape.
It was an entire little island. You know, you have peg hooks on. We had to put peg hooks through the gift wrap.
And that was what was that for? Like just decoration in the store?
Yeah, the boss thought that'd be a good idea.
Your manager is f***ing stupid.
Yeah, that's why he's a manager.
Well, you have to do it.
And it's the South.
There's also that.
The same manager also decided that she wanted to hire her girlfriend and her girlfriend's husband at the same time.
Wait, what?
Let me guess. They're divorced now.
Wait. What?
Okay. Your manager wanted to hire her girlfriend and her girlfriend's husband.
When you say girlfriend,
do you mean that in the obvious way or the
I certainly
less commonly...
do mean that in the obvious way. Yes. And we're all
commonly...
going, what the f*** are you doing?
Oh, wow.
Well, the question is, did the girlfriend's husband know about her at the time already?
We were told that he did.
Okay, you were told that he did. That's always a good way to start the conversation. I was told he knew about this.
When things went south pretty quickly, we kind of began to suspect that he did not.
And how quickly did things go south?
About 2 weeks.
That's actually more time than I expected.
Yeah, really.
It's the South.
No, that's actually more time than I expected. Because it's the South.
We had the craziest people working in that store. There was a girl who would get scared when the cash register opened. It surprised her. Even though she was the one pressing the button to open the cash register thing.
Like every time?
Yes. She'd like do the little jump. Oh!
Like for crying out loud.
And then there's another manager. There's an old lady who's just, you know, fear of God, Christian woman. And, you know, she wouldn't... Darn was a curse word for her. And so for Halloween, she dressed up as a flapper because she thought it was a funny-looking costume. She had no idea that flappers were prostitutes. I had to explain it to her.
You informed her of this, I hope.
Yes, and she was horrified.
She was horrified?
You must have been delighted, though.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Oh, God.
Mickey has the most interesting experiences to relate, doesn't he?
How sad is it that we're more engrossed in this than Taro?
Who would get high in the bathrooms before her shift.
Wait, what?
There's an assistant manager they hired that would go to the bathrooms, get high before her shift started.
See,
and so to mess with her, we'd all crash the registers by hitting Control-Alt-Delete when we had big lines.
See, this is why I missed... This is why the weeks you're not on, it's kind of... It's
boring?
It seems like it's missing something.
Fun and personality, maybe?
Yeah, because God knows I don't have that.
These are just old retail
stories. We're more engrossed in this than Garo.
No, I'm not really surprised we're more engrossed in this than Garo.
Because me and XP were the only ones that liked it.
Yeah. I think we were the only ones who watched it all the way through it all.
There's that, too.
I watched it until the video died with 10 minutes left.
That's one of the best parts.
Yes, Fort Max, that's the ending.
We used to have these little tubs up in the middle of the store called bargain bins. And this one girl that we were working for us was really stupid. And she wrote on a box, bargain binds. She misspelled a three-letter word.
The grammar of people. It drives me a little insane sometimes.
People too stupid to open a door, so I can believe that.
Oh, yeah. I remember you mentioning that the other day.
Yes.
Please elaborate.
We've got a movie theater where there's just like one door that opened from the outside and the others all opened the other way.
Uh-huh.
She literally couldn't figure out which was the door that opened up. She just couldn't see the one handle on this.
The fact
like
that
the eight doors that are there.
The fact that it wouldn't open wasn't telling.
Yeah.
The best way to play that off is just to keep trying. Like, you're trying to force it open.
Yeah.
You know it's not supposed to, but you're going to get it to open.
Like, I don't know, man. Get out
oh,
the credit
opening.
Card.
I haven't given up till it does.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.